Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, and, of course, people who think Brian Wilson mistakenly is better than the Beatles. What kind of ridiculous thing is that? I'm sorry. I'm right out of the gate with nothing important, except that I got a cold, obviously, right? Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
I'm going to try and get through this because I've got that raspy voice, you know, that sexy raspy voice.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, we spend 15 minutes. The only thing that gets me excited this morning is Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, the Dan, Mr. Yahtzee, comes out with this mind-blowing observation. It's like, oh, the Beach Boys are much better than the Beatles. Like, where the hell do you get that?
This is from a man who wasn't born until 1977.
It's ridiculous. And finally, we render it down. Wait, come here. You want to try and defend your case?
Yeah. Defend your life, Pashman.
He's got, like, these big ideas about things. And you know what? I found out something about Dan Pashman, him and his baseball loving Mr. carefully constructed sandwich guy, boys man boy, you know, the guy who's got the stuff. Doesn't like hot sauce. What kind of wuss doesn't like hot sauce?
You don't like hot sauce, man?
I'm sorry if my palate is a little more refined than yours.
That ain't it.
Now, I want you to try and recapture the stupidity that you so encapsulated earlier on before we got on the air that makes you say that Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys are better than the Beatles.
Now, you know, when you go down this road, before you all start this,
yeah.
When you go down this road, next thing you know, we're going to get phone calls all morning about this from people. You know that, right?
People who think Brian Wilson is somehow better than the Beatles, they're stupid, and they can, I welcome their emails. It's edition@airamericaradio.com. Maybe, go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead.
I don't think
Mr. Brian.
I'm not defending here. I'm just stating my claim here. I don't feel like I need to play defense
here. Supporter of a wacko.
Look, Pet Sounds stands above any album the Beatles have ever made.
No, no, period. That's so clearly right. Not true. Look at Revolver.
Revolver, man. Revolver. Start with Revolver.
Yeah, those are all pretty good. You know?
Because it's sad, the sad sort of broken man who is relatively inspired, somewhat of a genius, had one moment.
It was longer than a moment, dude. All right.
It was one record.
You got a 35 on American Bandstand.
It was two records.
My two records compared to the Beatles, 30. Now, I'm no big Beatle guy. It's not like I'm making some, like, I'm just trying to draw, this is empirical evidence. You know,
Brian Wilson could see through time.
He
had practically special powers, dude. I mean,
really? Let's talk about all the hit songs from Smile, and let's compare that to the timelessness of Beatles songs.
Are we going by hit songs? Is that the criteria?
Ba 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 ba. That wasn't even their song,
and
that was their one big hit.
I want to hold your hand. It's just as cheesy as that crap. I mean, look, if you're gonna compare early '60s stuff, you've got no case because the Beach Boys and the Beatles are equally as crappy and cheesy.
That's retarded. I mean, ridiculous. Not retarded. No, it's not. What? Love Me Do and all of them. All the Beatles songs at the beginning were better. Just the
harmonies were more interesting. Now this made quite an impression on you.
Look, I'm old. I'm getting older. Just because, you know, the thing is just weird is that your point of reference is some sort of a book or something. You know what I mean? Like, you grew up.
That's right. Now, I lived the 60s, okay? I was in high school when this stuff happened.
Yeah, and the fact that you lived the 60s has clearly clouded your memory.
No, it hasn't. The Beach Boys were surfing hacks until 1966.
That's the best
thing they ever did before 1966 was Do It Again, which was a remake of some other crap they did.
The point is that Pet Sounds stands above any album that the Beatles ever made.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, James Brown live at the Apollo trumps all of them. Big deal.
Exactly. But also, I would go as far to say.
Yeah. You never heard James Brown live at the Apollo.
I've heard plenty of James Brown.
Which one? 62 or 67?
The man is saying, I don't bring you. Try me.
Please.
Dude, honestly, I mean, I think it's very, you know, it's cute, your whole argument. But
where is your argument?
Abbey Road, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper's, all dwarf Pet Sounds.
Look,
I'm sorry.
How many of those albums came out before Pet Sounds? Only Revolver.
Okay.
All right, Revolver came out. That was a good, it's a great album. I'm not knocking Revolver.
Ever.
But Pet Sounds trumped Revolver. And after that came Sgt. Pepper's, and then Smile was going to come out, and it was going to completely revolutionize and put to bed the Beatles, the Beach Boys rivalry.
But talk about the legacy, though. The legacy of Pet Sounds is a bunch of sad, emo music. You know, the legacy of Sgt. Pepper's and the Beatles, you get much more intelligent.
All right, first of all, Sgt. Pepper's is the most overrated Beatles album ever. All right, Sgt. Pepper's doesn't hold a candle to Revolver or Rubber Soul, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's only because you have this weird Beach Boy bias.
Sgt. Pepper's was the Beatles' lame-ass attempt to rip off Pet Sounds.
Yeah, sure. And you know what? A lot of people, you know, Ramblin' Jack Elliott thinks Bob Dylan ripped him off. I mean, you know, the thing is,
it's one thing to rip off and build upon and do better than. I mean, Shakespeare ripped people off.
But see, this is where your argument falls apart.
Because your
boy genius fell apart. He couldn't build on anything.
No.
So now we got to wait 30 years for him to get his crap together to do Smile again?
The Beach Boys tried to rip off Pet Sounds, and they didn't do a very good job. I'm sorry, the Beatles tried to rip off Pet Sounds, and they didn't do a very good job of it.
Okay, well, maybe they didn't do a good job with that one. Let's talk about the other four records that came out after that. Let's talk about the White Album.
They're spinning their wheels. All those records are all one record.
No. Oh, the White Album wasn't spinning no wheels.
Smile.
Abbey Road was not spinning wheels.
Smile.
Abbey Road is great.
Smile stands above all those records.
No, I don't know about that.
I think you've just defined yourself as a wuss. You think you're like baseball guy, like a guy who likes good meat and does his own cooking. Now you're a guy who doesn't like hot sauce, and you're a Brian Wilson sympathizer. You're like, what are you now?
I'll make an analogy that Riley here.
Bruce Springsteen fan, I think you're confused on a very deep level.
Go ahead.
I don't know how a baseball fan who loves Bruce Springsteen also has this secret sad boy in his heart that loves Brian Wilson and doesn't like hot sauce. I mean, I understand the conflict. It's not my conflict.
I don't understand how hot sauce has anything to do with it.
Hot sauce is
if you don't like hot sauce, you could never have ever eaten collard greens.
Right.
And if you haven't eaten any collard greens, how can you judge music?
This is like arguing with Republicans. This is ridiculous.
No. It's like arguing with people who have a sense of the history of music and some sort of weird pop neophyte.
And
read a couple books.
Yeah.
Look, just because I wasn't alive in the 60s doesn't mean that I can't judge the music that came out of the 60s.
Do you like that guy, Dave Matthews?
Yeah. Well, I like his old stuff.
His old stuff? What, you mean from 78?
No, from the early to mid-90s.
Have you ever listened to John Mayall?
There you go.
Yeah. John Mayall and the Blues Breakers.
Yes, Mayall and the Blues Breakers.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at a certain point, he's
good for a white guy.
Yeah, he was good for a white guy, and he probably, more than any other white guy, faithfully borrowed from the blues, even more than Eric Clapton initially.
Oh, yeah, he was true to it, and he started Eric Clapton and Jack Bruce.
And a bunch of other guys.
Responsible for the spawning of Fleetwood Mac, the early Fleetwood Mac, which was a blues band.
Yeah.
Very good. Peter Green.
Yeah.
Another guy who was inspired, got all screwed up on drugs, and then drifted into some weird land.
Yeah. Let me boil this down. To me,
that would be a good bill. Peter Green and Brian Wilson washed out old geniuses.
To me, this is an issue of a flash of brilliance. Riley, to me, this is like Jim Brown versus Walter Payton. All right, Walter Payton rushed for 4,000 more yards than Jim Brown, but Jim Brown's still better because he was, at his best, he was better.
Okay.
Okay, and at the Beach Boys' best, they were better than the Beatles were at the Beatles' best.
Pashman? Brendan says get the hell out.
we got to do some news.
Yeah, we actually have to talk about the issues.
We'll bring this back later. Why don't you go and maybe download a couple of Brian Wilson songs and cry by yourself for a while, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think you guys would even get it.
Oh, no, I get it.
See if we can find any Hendrix with Lonnie Youngblood from back in the day. Didn't know he recorded with Lonnie now, did you?
Now you're just making up names.
No, I'm not!
All right, we'll be back with real news in a second here on Air America Radio.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you'll get $20 off two bottles of Cortislim. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
In November 2000, 34 million women who were eligible did not register or vote. This November, make your voice count.
Stand up, you can be heard. Send a message, spread the word. Now the sisters, it's your turn. Stand up, stand up. Hope for hope, hope for change. Hope to turn a brand new page. Hope for peace, take the stage.
This message was brought to you by StandUpAndVote.org.
Howard Stern in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the cheese at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Box, commercial-free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Pat's Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Adam Cryer, Randy Rose, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock of the radio.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe. Just maybe it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life. With computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool.
Lifelong learning begins at your library.
Yeah, what
what do you got, Brian Wilson? What do you got? What do you bring to the table there? 20 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. A quick PSAs here. Tomorrow, October 20th, is the deadline for Wisconsin, but you can also register in person on Election Day. These are voter registration deadlines. October 23rd for Iowa and New Hampshire. New Hampshire will not accept national voter registration forms. And November 2nd for Maine, that's the election day, so you can go ahead and register right up to the day on that. They're starting their voting already in Florida, and there's already problems, Mark Riley.
There are already problems in Palm Beach County, in Broward County, and in Orange County. And Orange County, of course, is the county that contains Orlando, and apparently a computer system crash created havoc in Orange County.
I can't even deal with this. It just crashed, and what happened?
Well, what happened was they got it back up, but it paralyzed voting for some people that were trying to come in early. There are apparently lots of folks, there were lines in some Florida counties to come in and come in and actually cast their ballots early. There are a lot of people that want to get it out of the way. They don't want to stand online on election day.
Right.
They don't want to go through any changes. They don't want to get profiled by the cops.
Right.
And there are people who are objecting, for example, in Duval County, which is the home county for our good friend Congresswoman Corrine Brown. Duval County is the most populous county in the state of Florida. It includes the city of Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
One polling site, whole county.
Why is that? I mean, if she's overseeing that, I wonder why she let that happen.
She's not the direct overseer of that. The county board of elections oversees that.
And that's a districting thing? They allot a certain number of polling places per district? Is that how that works?
Well, the city attorney says it's too late to open new sites. The city council had actually, the Jacksonville City Council, had committed more money to open more polling sites, but apparently the city attorney couldn't get it done didn't get it done.
So they figured that the felon rolls weren't enough. Now they're going to just not give black people any place to vote?
Yeah, one place. Yeah, get there the best way you can.
Unbelievable. Oh, public transportation's down.
Yeah, and I mean, Jacksonville is a very large city geographically. In addition to having lots of people living there, it's a very large city geographically. So one polling site, not just for Jacksonville, but for the entire county in which Jacksonville is located, that means people are going to have to travel 45 minutes to an hour to get there to vote early. But there is a steady flow, apparently, in Palm Beach County, where they have more than a dozen sites. And a lot of people are just, they really want to get this done early. A lot of folks are being told to use the paper ballots. Some folks are comfortable using touchscreen stuff.
Yeah.
Even though they're worried that their votes, even though they cast them early, might not get counted. There are some people that are using touchscreens, but most people are being advised to use paper ballots.
Do you think the early votes would get counted? Do you think that would secure your vote being counted? Like they can get ahead of the game here. You know what I mean? They can start counting next week.
Well, see, this is the paradox about the way voting goes in a lot of counties and a lot of states in this country.
Yeah.
In Florida, the Republicans are not particularly happy with early voting because they say it's an invitation to fraud. And the Republicans generally, when they talk about the large numbers of people that are registering, the large numbers of people that they anticipate coming out to vote, the impediments, the obstacles that they throw in the way of voting, they tend to use fraud as a reason.
Well, from what I gathered from that, from our guest yesterday, Joshua Green, who wrote the piece on Karl Rove,
sure.
I read that piece on Karl Rove, and it turns out that, really the way the Republicans do it, it's all in the recount. That if it doesn't matter, before or, whether there's an advance to the voting, but afterwards, if the election is close enough to argue that, what happens is all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's this box of ballots that weren't counted and there's 200 in there. We just found that there are these absentee votes that weren't counted, that it doesn't seem to matter if the election is close, that they're going to figure out a way to steal it.
Well, it's interesting because Rove has a strategy on both ends.
Yeah.
In 2000, it was about not counting the ballots. And not doing the recounts. If it favors his candidate, they don't want to do anything else.
Right.
If it doesn't favor his candidate, then they'll count for a year.
Well, I'll tell you, it's looking good for not favoring his candidate because Democrats are like signing up more new voters than ever imagined possible.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Sidney Blumenthal on yesterday, and he even said it. Can we hear that, Chris?
The game right now is turnout. it's clear that the higher the turnout, the greater the Democratic percentage. There are 700,000 new voters registered in Ohio alone. About two-thirds of those are Democrats. If they show up, it's a tidal wave. The Republicans are trembling with fear right now and trying to figure out how to discourage those people from casting ballots for Democrats.
Wow, trembling with fear. I guess that's why George Bush looked that way on the first debate.
He was
actually
that could
trembling
be,
with fear.
That could be part of it. And see, there are a lot of really insidious ways, Mark, particularly with new voters, voters who are recent citizens. Apparently, you know, there was a big stink here in New York because there was a holdup about people becoming citizens, and they supposedly were not going to be able to register and vote because they hadn't gone through the citizenship process. Apparently, they've managed to rectify that to the extent that now people are being allowed, new citizens are being allowed to register after the deadline in order to vote. But in a lot of instances, there are a zillion different ways. Well, you got anybody in your family who might be illegal?
Oh, really?
Yeah. If somebody says that to a new voter, what do you think they're going to do about going to the polls?
They're going to be like, they're not.
Well,
I don't
hold it. They're not rocking the boat.
Yeah, right, exactly.
These are the kinds of things that people use. Stationing police officers, and this happened in New York on several occasions, stationing police officers near or around polling places. Technically, it is the police who are supposed to secure the voting machines in New York.
Not scare people away.
Not scare people away, but the fact is they'll post cops around the excuse me, do you have identification? Can you show me your voter's card? Those kinds of questions sometimes create confusion, particularly among elderly voters who may have had a registration card 30, 40 years ago, haven't needed one up until now, and bam, suddenly somebody asks them for it, they get paranoid.
And they get intimidated, people with, you know, outstanding parking tickets, you know, anything. You know,
anything.
Any reason to be paranoid, you know, IRS, you know what I mean? They think he gets all connected, and as soon as a cop says, yeah, can I see your ID? Then it's like, yeah, you know, I got to go. It was my mistake. I thought that this was a democracy. Even in New Hampshire, let's go through some of these. In New Hampshire, a state that George W. Bush won by 7,211 votes in 2000, the Democrats have signed up 6,814 more new voters than Republicans have. The Democrat rolls rose by 3.7% compared with a scant 0.2% for the GOP. In Iowa, Democrats have registered 42,074 more of their supporters than the GOP. In New Mexico, the Republicans increased their share of voters, growing by 9%, while Democrats grew 7.7%, but the Democrats still added nearly 10,000 more voters. I mean, this is an amazing wave of outrage and democracy and people, I hope, being fed up enough to actually, you know, go vote now that they've registered.
I'm hoping that the Democratic Party is now able to outthink the Republicans in terms of how they're going to deal with this. Because I guarantee you, and this is something, again, Mark, that came out of yesterday's conversation about Karl Rove.
Right.
I guarantee you they are trying to figure out a way to disenfranchise as many people as possible. It worked in 2000. Now the question is, how are they going to approach it in 2004 when people are already looking to perhaps speak to some of the issues that were raised out of 2000?
And we've got a third-party candidate, you know, coming up, Jim Earle, one of our writers and a great character on the show. His brother's running for councilman
in Huntington Beach, California.
Yeah,
Green Party candidate. We're going to talk with him. We're going to talk to we're actually going to have the president's Palm Pilot on tap, as well as the liberal agenda and Jim and John Earle. When we come back,
Earl
the Dukes
boys.
Of Earle. When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Attention, single Air America listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Air America because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Air America listeners and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. What do you say, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to actually meet the other people who listen to Air America, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. DemocraticMatch.com is completely free for a limited time. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
There's this type of breakdown.
Great, George. Now what do we do?
Which can lead to this kind of breakdown. And then, there's serious Monday Night Breakdown. Leading into the big game, Mike and Larry get you pumped up on Prime with a complete analysis and highlights for the night's game. The Monday Night Breakdown, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Randy is getting advice from broke people who tell him to buy a house right now. I'll give him my advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Randy has house fever, and he's getting bad advice. But he wants to do it the right way.
I'm almost debt-free. My family and my friends are all telling me, just don't even bother till I'm debt-free. Just go ahead and buy a house.
Isn't it amazing how many broke people have money opinions?
Yeah, and they're all broke.
So this is whose advice we're going to take about money.
So,
I mean, that's like taking a driving course from a demolition derby driver.
Yeah, and they almost had me convinced for a while there, but then I kept remembering your words. I've got the emergency fund in place,
yep,
the 3 to 4 months of expenses in place, and I got that, and I'm doing good. I'm on my plan, and mm-hmm. I want to wait till I'm debt-free.
And you are going to.
I'm going to be there, man.
You're going to wait till you're debt-free to buy a house, or I'm going to come find you.
Should I wait until I save up some money after I'm debt-free?
Like, yeah, you got to have a down payment.
What's a good down payment, Dad?
Get together all you can. Do it on a 15-year fixed rate where the payment is not more than a fourth of your take-home pay.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpat. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them The Backpat. Now you try The Backpat. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4-KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council. You give me power, get out of bed. When in the morning, I'm feeling dead.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it. What you people
find? A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist. My dad is one, and he says optimists help kids. He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids. Things that help kids feel good about themselves. Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist too.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I want the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Okay. Mark Maron here. It's 34 past the hour. I'm with Mark Riley.
Hi.
And Ramon just came by wearing a weird, he had a hard hat helmet on. And I don't know what that means. He had like welding glasses. And I just, I don't, whatever. He brought this. Here's a presidential pump pilot for today. Here's a schedule for the president. 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Quote, John Kerry loves the draft. He expects all of you to fight. End quote. 8 o'clock a.m. Do exercises to correct lopsided morning face. 8:30 a.m. Tell media to set aside an hour for another major presidential address. Topic, why Kerry hates Florida, greatest state in the universe.
9 a.m., attend rally, St. Petersburg, Florida. Note, jokingly remind them that my boss is a Jewish carpenter, non-union. 11:40 a.m., speak at rally, Newport Richie, Florida. Note, warn them about John Kerry's secret plan to abolish golf. 2:40 p.m., speak at rally, The Villages, Florida, fun game. Repeat speech word for word from last week's rally in Detroit. See if they notice. 6:25 p.m., back in Washington, call banker. See if missing $2.5 from Iraq has hit Dad's checking account yet. There you go. 10 p.m., bedtime, listen to Gut. The Gut says, screw the wonks, take decisive action. Two pillows, no apologies. That's right. That's good. Yeah. Okay. Jim Earl's in here. You know, Jim Earl, our listeners might not realize it, but he is a writer here on the network, and he also does some of the much-loved characters here on Morning Sedition. I'm not going to tell him who, because I want to keep the illusion of the reality here.
Share the fantasy. Yeah.
Exactly. And on the phone, we have Jim's brother, who is actually a third-party candidate. He's a Green Party candidate. This is John Earl. He's running for, councilman in Huntington Beach, California. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Morning.
Most important, right off the bat, I just got to ask you, if elected to office, we ever pay Jim back for that time you guys went to see Kangaroo Jack?
I'll get revenge, you know.
tell me, John, what are some of the issues that define the Green Party platform?
Well, first of all, we want a real democracy in America, and that means, for one thing, an instant runoff voting system so that we don't have to worry about this argument over the evil of two lessers or lesser of two evils, however you want to put it. We don't take corporate donations like the Democrat and Republican parties.
Right.
We're a lot stronger on labor issues. We're for a repeal of the Taft-Hartley Act. Taft-Hartley Slave Labor Act is what it ought to be called.
I was Taft-Hartley'd once.
Yeah, me too.
Weren't you, Jim?
Yes,
well,
I was.
Well, we've all been Taft-Hartley'd.
So, did you know your brother's sitting right here?
Yeah, I figure that, yeah.
I'm right here.
Is there any way you guys can make a difference? I mean, how does it work? I mean, clearly on the presidential level, Nader is sort of a nuisance at this point. But what about on the local level?
Well, I think he makes a difference at the national level. The nuisance is the one-party system we have. Nader helps us to draw the line in the sand and stop this rightward swing that we have increasingly every election cycle, because the Democrats want to outdo or catch up to the Republicans in their right-wing ways. At the local level, one of the strategies of the Green Party is to organize at the local level, and that's one of the reasons I'm running for city council. And city council races and school board races are nonpartisan. So it's a little easier to get elected that way and get started and build a base.
But, John, didn't Ralph Nader take money and help from the GOP in several states across the country?
Well, not as much as Kerry. Kerry took almost $11 million in campaign contributions from Republicans. Ralph Nader got a little over $100,000. That's about 100 times less, I guess, than Kerry. And, Republicans, there are Republicans who sincerely support Nader, and there is some common ground there. And Nader's trying to reach out to independents, Democrats, Greens, whoever. What's wrong with that? And all this nonsense about Nader taking petition signatures from Republicans, that's just Democratic Party propaganda.
It's not true. They didn't do that in Michigan.
No, it's not true. And what's happened is the Democratic Party has been trying to subvert the Nader campaign like they did in Oregon, where they filled up his auditorium with fake Nader supporters and so that he couldn't get the petition signed.
Hey, John, does the Green Party have any tactics or plans of stopping the extreme Christian right from taking over the country and subverting the Constitution?
Well, I think, one thing is we don't pander to them. Kerry panders to them. Look at what he was doing in the debate.
He's trying to
outright wing Bush,
yes.
And how do you vote for somebody like that? Where do we draw the line in the sand and say no more of this?
John, this is your brother, Jim.
Yeah. I can tell from the same voice, yeah.
What kind of chance do you have to make a good showing here in the city council race of Huntington Beach, California, and Orange County?
Well, I live in a place where you can get your name on the ballot and do nothing and get get 25% of the vote. So I got a pretty good chance of making a difference here. We're, the theme of this campaign is 2004 and beyond, so we're trying to organize a progressive base in Huntington Beach. In 2 years, there'll be four openings on the city council, and I'll be running again with some other progressives. We're going to raise some money at the grassroots level to fight the special interests here that will probably win for the most part this time.
I've known you as a brother for about 45 years now, and you sound very, very reasonable at this moment. What the hell happened?
I think you just haven't been reasonable yourself all the other times, I guess.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
You know, we think Jim's pretty extreme, you know what I mean? I mean, do you eat meat?
You know, I'm mostly a vegetarian, but
that doesn't count.
I eat meat once in a while.
How do you feel about that, Jim? Your brother eating meat? Is that something a Green Party person does?
I don't know. I think he's just a traitor against humanity if he eats meat. I think anybody who eats meat is a traitor against humanity.
We have the greatest percentage of vegans in our party, probably of any political party.
Oh, so now you're just going to ride on them, huh?
Yeah, right.
We'll get their vote.
Coattails.
Are they going to have the strength to make it to the polls?
I think they'll have the strength to make it to the polls and back again.
And that's it. That's all. That's what they.
Hey, is Orange County really the way they show it on TV?
Well, you know, we have the saying, we're behind the orange curtain here, but it's not as bad as people think. I mean, there is a core of right-wing extremists here that are even more irrational than my brother. And yet, generally speaking, people are actually more moderate on social issues, and there is also a strong progressive element in Orange County.
Let's just cut to the quick here, John. Do you have any chance in hell of winning this thing?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Why don't you move to Boulder or Portland somewhere, will you?
Oh, and the weather is terrible up there.
And also, is Jim's car all right?
Yeah.
Except for just a couple of things.
A couple of things here and there.
You haven't been driving it again, have you?
Well, I've got to get my license before I drive it anymore after today.
Maybe some insurance, too.
And I guess just on a broader, quick way to end here, what happened to you guys? I mean, is there, like, whose fault was it that you're both so crazy?
I don't know. I think it was maybe something in the atmosphere from the global warming. I don't know.
He spins it. Beautiful.
Spins it. It's a damn truth.
Oh, you're going to blame your eccentricity and your brother's, you know, commitment to a losing political thing?
Eccentricity? Maybe everyone else is insane. Uh-oh.
I think the Green Party's got a lot of good ideas. I think Nader does, too, but I think we got to get rid of this guy.
Well, I think so, too, but we got to stop the slide to the right in this country, and Kerry isn't doing it. He's sliding more to the right. So what's the solution when the Democratic Party won't even stand up for the right of African Americans to vote in this country like they sold them out in the last campaign?
Well, I think
they're
standing up for their right to vote in many places, and I think also that, you know, what you're doing is probably the way to go about it, is start changing local politics.
You know, I don't mind the disagreement with Nader and the debate over it, but what the Democrats are doing now by these vicious smears against Nader is alienating people, and it's going to be a long time before they'll ever go back to the Democratic Party if that's what they really want. So what we need to do is respect each other's democratic rights, and that's what the Democratic Party leadership needs to learn.
Okay,
and they'll get somewhere.
All right, well, I'll make sure they get that message.
We'll call Terry McAuliffe and make sure he knows.
Jim, call up Terry and let him know that.
He'll listen.
Like he got us Terry already.
Wow. So, Jim, do you have anything you want to resolve here with your brother?
Yeah,
in any way I can
on national radio.
One more thing to say. Stay away from my stuff.
There's still some left.
Just stay away from my stuff.
I wonder what stuff. That is.
All right. Right.
John, thank you very much.
Thanks,
John. Thank you. Thanks a lot for the time.
All right.
Whatever.
Jim, I think that we got a side of your brother that you, that wasn't really what was the core of what's going on between you two.
No, there's a lot of deep-seated resentment.
He called you irrational. He called you weird voice, he said right away. I can tell by the weird voice.
Yeah.
Well, and he's older than you?
You say he's about 4 years older than I am.
So this is a guy that beat the crap out of you?
Regularly, and his friends. He had his friends beat the crap out of me.
He can delegate authority.
Wow. So
that's necessary to be
he's not a delegate authority, yes.
A true leader. Well, thanks for sharing your brother with us, Jim. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Hi. Do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action.
You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826. Or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
Well, Mr. Quinn, I have your loan application here. I see you want to finance one of our big screen TVs.
Oh, yeah, I love that TV.
Of course you do. The thing is, your credit report has a few hiccups or bumps.
Bumps, yes.
What we call red flags or warnings.
You see, I can...
Actually, you have huge gaping chasms of incredibly bad decision-making.
Okay, I can explain.
I mean monumental credit mistakes. I mean, phenomenally ridiculous. Laughable, really. I mean, oh, Mr. Quinn... I gotta frame this one.
Before you go for a loan, be prepared with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for just $14.95. It's the first step to getting the things you want. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's E-Q-U-I-F-A-X. Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Ray, it's your mother again.
Oh, boy. Hi, Mom. This isn't about the presidential election.
No, Raymond. It's about the Bergen County freeholders.
Why do you care about freeholders?
Because I pay property taxes, that's why. Because your father and I scrimped and saved so you and your brother could have everything.
Ma, I've heard this before.
The Bergen County Democrats are doing a great job keeping county taxes down. They cut taxes again this year. They cut the payroll and spending. They got rid of all those silly perks, and they passed tough new ethics reforms, too. The Democratic freeholders are tightening their belts and making county government smaller and smarter. You know, dear, you could use a little belt tightening yourself.
Ma!
Well, you know it's true. In Bergen County, the Reform Democrats are the only team for taxpayers. That's why I'm voting to re-elect freeholder Jim Carroll, Tom Padilla, and Liz Calabrese. And you should, too.
A 4 by Victory 2004.
I know firsthand what it's like to be a kid when your dad dies with no life insurance. So when I started my own family, I knew how important it was. So I called AccuQuote at 800-500-3353. They found me life insurance from a top-rated company, and they saved me a fortune.
This is Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. Since 1986, we've helped tens of thousands of people save a fortune on their life insurance. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $20 a month. A 50-year-old, less than $50 a month. 20 and 30-year plans are also available. And ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. So if you're thinking about life insurance or want to know if you're paying too much, write down this number and call 800-500-3353 and start saving money right now. Or visit us at AccuQuote.com. That's 800-500-3353. 800-500-3353. Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer checking their credit report. This one's going to be close.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. Freecreditreport.com.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details on the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
Yeah.
39 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here on Morning's Edition with Mark Riley.
Hey,
you're listening to Air America Radio. Hey, President Bush, what about Osama bin Laden?
I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on.
Really?
And I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure.
Really?
And, you know, again, I don't know where he is.
Uh-huh.
Why
are you laughing? This is serious.
Yeah,
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you wouldn't be that concerned about him, because he was the guy that bombed the Twin Towers.
World Trade Center, and yeah, but he's busy pursuing other things now.
So now, this is beautiful. This is beautiful that Brent Scowcroft.
Yes, former National Security Advisor and mentor to Condoleezza Rice.
And to National Security Advisor to Bush Sr.
Bush Sr., yes.
Is now coming out against the younger.
Yes.
For being irresponsible.
Well, saying that he acted with contempt toward NATO, saying that the actual going to the United Nations after the fact and asking for help was just like a backhanded thing. And interestingly, saying that George W. Bush, the son, is in the pocket of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon.
Or at least very impressed by.
Yeah, very impressed
Ariel
by.
Ariel Sharon. I think that...
Wrapped around his little finger, he says.
Yeah, we can read the quote here. Where is it? Oh, okay. On Israel and Sharon, the former security advisor said Sharon calls Bush after strongly retaliating for a Palestinian suicide attack and says, quote, I'm on the front line of terrorism. The president says, yes, you are, end quote.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that outside of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, that a lot of what Bush sees in Israel is the end times unrolling.
You know what's interesting about Scowcroft's comment?
You know.
Remember that it was Scowcroft as national security advisor who was one of the point people, wasn't the only one, but one of the point people during the first Gulf War who talked the Israelis out of retaliating against Saddam.
Mm-hmm.
After Saddam had shot Scuds at Israel,
yeah,
and the Israelis were preparing to attack, remember that it was Scowcroft and the, you know, the senior aides, military and otherwise, in the Bush administration talked him out of it.
Yeah, it's bizarre because Scowcroft says he thinks the President Bush, this is a quote, I think the president is mesmerized by Sharon.
Yeah.
And these guys are so weird in how they parse language. About the unilateral attack, he says, quote, it's not really hostile, but there's an edge to it. Yeah, I would say that there was an edge to it. And now more news is coming out about how there was no post-war planning. And also there's some news coming out about how, you know, there was a group that went in to try to convince Tony Blair
not to go,
but by the time they got there to advise him on the catastrophe that was going to happen, or the possible catastrophe, which did happen,
it was too late.
He was already dead set on he had been co-opted by Bush's, what do you call it, rhetoric.
See, this catastrophic success story, which is in the New York Times,
is
speaking very specifically to some ideas that people have held for a while, and that is that there was a layer of U.S. military personnel who knew before the war started that the strategy that Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, was pursuing would not have enough troops involved to win the peace, as it were. And what they were, they kept silent, many of them, because they were hedging their bets that Rumsfeld's strategy would succeed, and that is, you know, a kind of the shock and awe thing,
yeah,
and that they wouldn't really need a huge number of troops because there wouldn't be any difficulty in managing the peace, the whole rose petals and the, you know,
right,
and the highway thing. When it turned out differently, now, Mark, one of the troubling things in this story, now, this is from this story in the New York Times. If the United States and its allies wanted to maintain the same ratio of peacekeepers after the war to population as it had in Kosovo, this is according to a briefing called Four Security and Seven Recent Stability Operations. So they did a round robin of some of the other things that had been done. If you were going to keep the same ratio of peacekeepers, they would have to station 480,000 troops in Iraq. If Bosnia was used as a benchmark, 364,000 troops would be needed, which is very close to the estimate that General Shinseki had. If Afghanistan served as a model, only 13,900 would be needed in Iraq. Guess which one Rumsfeld and those people opted for?
The last one.
The Afghanistan model.
Well, I think they really thought that they had it aced. You know, there's a great quote in here from an unnamed veteran State Department officer. Quote, we didn't go to war with a plan. We went in with a theory.
end quote. And that best describes the sort of chicken hawk neoconservative mentality, is these guys had it all worked out on paper. They had it worked out geopolitically, how they were going to parse up the territory, what they were going to do with the resources, and it just completely backfired when the human factor came in, and they did not even foresee that, you know, these boundaries, these borders would be completely porous. The insurgency would take root there. Other insurgents would come in from all around the region to help fight. I mean, I don't know how they missed it.
But, see, that's the thing. They should have known. This particular briefing, 4 security and 7 recent stability operations, makes the point that in Bosnia and Kosovo, like in Iraq, most of the population, at least half the population, lives in urban areas, whereas in Afghanistan, that number is only 18%. Now, why would you follow the strategy? See, because you need more troops to control urban areas than you do rural parts of different countries. So why would you use the Afghanistan model if Afghanistan itself did not resemble Iraq in terms of its total urban population?
Because I think Rumsfeld is a corporate thinker. He's a bottom line guy. This was about money and about cutting costs and about proving that he could execute a military offensive like this, you know, on the cheap because of the technology he thought that he could rely on.
Yeah.
I think this was a bottom line thing. What do you think?
I think it probably was. It was a bottom line thing, and it was in keeping with Rumsfeld's overall philosophy of how to conduct war. Rumsfeld was one of these futuristic thinkers that figures, look, we don't need troops anymore. We have the technology. We have the intelligence in place, and we have the armaments. We have the we have the bombs. So we don't need troops. And that particular mindset, which was shared by a lot of these neocons, is now being shown to be way, way off the mark. And it is leading to situations like the one we talked about yesterday, where soldiers are refusing direct orders because they simply are not properly equipped to do the job that they're being asked to do. And we're going to talk with the father of one of those soldiers later on this morning.
Because their leaders misled them. One of the models they should have taken into mind a little more clearly was Vietnam. You know, when you have this sort of, you know, a passionate ideology, and you have people that have nothing left to lose who are willing to do anything, that the sheer will of individuals in that situation could throw a wrench into any high-tech military offensive.
This is miscalculation that borders on malfeasance.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. When you're talking about the Defense Department ignoring its reviews that it commissioned, this stability operations review was commissioned by the Defense Department, and Rumsfeld essentially said, hey, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Insane.
The audacity of it. Now they're all, I mean, I just hope that people realize that this is their fault.
Yeah.
Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. 1, demand a recount today because these things take time. 2, in a show of unity with the mutinous soldiers in Iraq, skip taking your hydrogen vehicle to the fueling station this week. 3, interrupt everyone today with the word allegedly. Allegedly.
I do that every day.
4, threaten to withhold child's allowance until his middle school newspaper endorses Kerry. 5, today's phrase is dropped into conversation. Quote, those soldiers are right to refuse orders, man. The only order I respect is, I'll have a grilled tofu on gluten-free toast, man. End quote. What do we got next hour there, buddy?
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, we're going to talk about anthrax, a real problem for some U.S. soldiers, with an expert on the subject. We're going to talk with our listeners on the telephones. We've got Recovery Corner coming up and Iraq, Birth of a Nation, all for you here on Air America Radio.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here about 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh.
How long has it been like this?
At least since this morning. What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, like, walked off?
I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We can leave a note.
You guys weren't using this, were you?
Not us.
Nope.
No.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act.
The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. With all the campaign talk around the White House that there will never be a need for a military draft, the New York Times reports this morning that the Selective Service has been updating its contingency plans for a draft of doctors, nurses, and other healthcare practitioners in case of a national emergency. This if the national emergency overwhelms the military's medical corps. Agency over the summer hired a private contractor to determine just how such a program would work. This in addition to securing compliance, how to mold public opinion, and communicate with the healthcare professionals whose lives might be disrupted. Confidential report was handled with care, according to the paper, so the document would not spawn public alarm over restoration of the military draft. Former Vice President Al Gore has returned to the campaign stump for the Democratic presidential ticket yesterday. Gore told the Georgetown University audience yesterday that Bush's reasons for war in Iraq were all personal.
This was not an unfortunate misreading of the available evidence causing a mistaken linkage between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. This was something else, a willful choice to make a specific linkage whether evidence existed to support it or not.
Former Vice President Al Gore at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Also out of Washington, the U.S. National Security Advisor under former President George Bush, this is Bush's father, said the current president acted contemptuously toward NATO and Europe after September 11, 2001, and is trying to cooperate now out of desperation to rescue a failing venture in Iraq and Afghanistan. Brent Scowcroft, a mentor to current National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, also said in an interview published in England that Bush is inordinately influenced by Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. Sharon just has him wrapped around his little fingers. Scowcroft told London's Financial Times newspaper, "I think the president is mesmerized." Scowcroft said the Bush administration's unilateralist position was partly responsible for the post-September 11th decline in the transatlantic relationship. John Edwards turned the tables on President Bush yesterday for a series of attacks on the top tier of the Democratic ticket, suggesting only one person can defend the nation against terrorism. Edwards told a campaign stop in South Jersey that Bush made one last con to the American people into believing he's the only one who can stage that fight. Edwards said the first casualty of a desperate campaign is the truth. Bush just early in the same location charged Kerry with having a dangerous pre-9/11 view of the world. Edwards shot back saying Bush did not tell the truth about Iraq, about the war on terror, about Kerry, and about his own record. Edwards, while in Florida, said Bush is exploiting the September 11th tragedy for his own personal gain. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Howard Stern in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the cheese at the gate, Score TV, the music box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Max Infection, Diamond Mullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alice Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Hazard Fire, Randy Rose, and MP on his comedy and all the stars.
I've been on the radio.
This is Earth and Sky. On this day 5 years ago, the United Nations declared that 6 billion humans inhabit the Earth.
It's also estimated that 1 in 5 people worldwide lack access to safe drinking water. We spoke with famed Stanford ecologist Paul Ehrlich about water and the growing population.
The problem is that not only are we pumping out groundwater at unsustainable rates, we're also polluting water. For example, when I first started to do field research in the Rocky Mountains, you could drink the water almost anywhere fresh out of a stream. Now you'll get giardia if you do that, because there are so many people and so many animals brought in by people that diseases are spreading. One of the things that few people understand is that the epidemiological environment, that is, our susceptibility as a species to diseases, is running downhill very rapidly as our population gets larger. It's in part because the more people we have, the more likely it is that new diseases will jump into our population from animal populations, particularly in Africa. And it's in part due to our rapid transport system so that sick people can spread disease rapidly around the world, as, for example, SARS indicated.
More from Paul Ehrlich on our next Earth and Sky.
Thanks today to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, promoting the conservation of native fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Kicksburg.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for RAD. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, people who mistakenly think that Brian Wilson is better than the Beatles, Led Zeppelin rules. The new DVD set is awesome. It's not even that new, but man, I can't stop watching it. I went out and bought the new Camper Van Beethoven disc yesterday. A little disappointing, but I love Camper Van Beethoven. I don't know why I'm talking about this. There are bigger things to talk about, Mark Riley.
There are?
Yes, but we had Pashman in here defending Brian Wilson. That argument is over. It is over.
For this hour.
Yes. What I want to talk about, what I'd like to talk about, is that this Texas doctor has been speculating here, okay? And I want to read this right off of the page here. After watching the third presidential debate Wednesday night, Dr. W. Kendall Tangier, MD of Dallas, Texas, posted on the Dallas Morning News website about his concerns that the president may have had a stroke. The anesthesiologist, who has been in practice for 15 years, wrote, quote, having watched the first two debates from start to finish, I was looking forward to listening to a spirited debate between Bush and Kerry. Unfortunately, I barely heard a word that was said. Instead, I found myself staring at and concentrating on the president's drooping mouth. As a physician and professor, I tend to pick up on signs and symptoms of physical problems better than most people. I am highly concerned with what I saw. The drooping left side of the president's face, his mouth, and nasolabial fold, the crease in the face running from the nostril to the side of the mouth, may be indicative of a recent stroke, that's a transient ischemic attack, or possibly Botox injections. I sincerely hope it was nothing more than Botox injections.
Botox?
The other options are truly scary given an upcoming election president in 3 weeks. Now, there's been all this speculation that he was wearing a wire. I speculated that he was wired. I think he was clearly medicated. In the first debate, if he was wearing a transmitter, it didn't work. All right? And now there's reports that he's put his physical off. He's not going to have his yearly physical. Okay, so this is starting to tie together. And as you said, Mark Riley.
Not the first time.
That's right. And the last time he avoided his physical, the speculation was he was loaded. All right? Now, I think he is being loaded, but I think he's being loaded up. And now that we just get this other thing, I guess it came off of off the internet somewhere, of the life vest system. Now, in those pictures from the second and third debate, I think it was the second debate, actually, there was clearly a pack of some kind on his back, under his jacket, and now someone has speculated that it's this life vest system. You can look at the life vest system at www.lifecore.com. It's on Pashman's Picks on MorningSedition.com. And the Life Vest is designed as an intermediate-term treatment option for people at high risk for sudden cardiac arrest. It is a on-back, sensitive to the heart rhythm defibrillator that I guess is hooked right up
to your cardiovascular system. So if he was wearing a pack like this to maintain or manage his cardiovascular rhythms, I mean, I think that he's completely gutted and this is a control panel. I think that they are testing, not only are they testing anthrax on the soldiers, which is what we're going to talk to our guest about,
yeah,
but they're testing all this weird new life support technology on Bush so they can program him efficiently. If you look into Bush's eyes and his wife's eyes, there's something not right. It's not that it's not just the Christian thing, which is right in some respects, but fanaticism and, you know, the idea that somebody is, you know, has abandoned themselves in order to believe in what they believe in and has that weird glazed look of a cult member. They have that, but I'm speculating that it's even deeper than that, that they're actually being managed on a bio-organic level by remote control.
So that's not like a jetpack on his back allowing to fly out of the debate?
No, I think it's actually what regulates his mental systems and his cardiovascular system so he doesn't melt down. I think the guy is being, you know, hypermedicated with, you know, injections by a doctor before he goes on stage anywhere. And in this situation, they had to really medicate him properly so his confidence didn't buckle, you know, because he is, you know, a sort of hypersensitive, you know, non-recovered alcoholic who, you know, you never know if he could freak out. And they were literally managing his what do you call those, essential signs?
Vital signs, yeah.
Vital signs and also managing his mood.
That's who's got the remote control? I mean, because somebody must have been handling.
There's only
all
a
this.
Couple of people that are allowed to have it. You know, yeah.
Carl Rove and who else?
There's only a couple of people that are allowed to operate the giant puppet.
His mommy? No, Barbara Bush? No.
No, I think it's just Carl, and Dick Cheney has a similar package on his back.
And Laura doesn't have an off switch.
No, Laura has been, you know, she's been implanted because it was easier to do her for some reason. These, you know, I didn't make this stuff up. You know, I read this in a book. You know, written by a guy who writes books. So there's no reason to question this stuff. And I've been validated on the internet.
On the internet. Where else?
Who wrote it because he knows what he's talking about. He cited a few references and he
what are those references? Tell us the references.
You know, he had some books about germ warfare and about, you know, about programming. The Manchurian Candidate film, he cited that.
Oh, okay.
You can't argue with that stuff. That's real science.
So the world is actually going to hell in a handbasket, is what they're saying.
Well, you know, it's really a question of who actually has Cheney's control. Do you understand? All right, so now.
This is so terrible.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just trying to report the news.
I understand. Now, let's report. You want to report
the
news?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Let's report.
Report the real news, not the Marin Mine news.
All right, well, Kerry and Bush are both on the campaign trail. They were both in Florida yesterday. Bush made a stopover in South Jersey because they suddenly consider that a swing state.
Uh-huh.
But Kerry is not letting up in his attacks on the president about Iraq. Kerry says that the military knew ahead of time that there was going to be a case of the shorts in terms of supplies for the soldiers in Iraq. Let's hear that sound.
We learned that the top U.S. commander in Iraq had to plead with the Pentagon for critical supplies in order to counter the growing insurgency there. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez argued last winter that without increased supplies, and these are his words, I cannot continue to support sustained combat operations. The day after General Sanchez wrote his letter, George Bush went out and told the American people our troops were properly equipped. Despite the president's arrogant boasting that he has done everything right in Iraq and that he's made no mistakes, the truth is beginning to catch up with him.
That's right. That's
it
right.
Is.
And what about Osama bin Laden?
I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure.
But wasn't he the guy
and,
that...
You know, again, I don't know where he is.
Why are we in Iraq?
It's
not funny.
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Yeah.
Well, that's George
so Kerry,
Bush's
so
position.
Kerry's fighting back. Kerry said, you know, on point, he's on message, and you know, and he's got the president on the defensive.
Well, he does, and it's interesting that one of the things that has made Bush extremely defensive is actually the twin issues of privatizing Social Security, which Kerry says he's about, Bush will do if he's elected to a second term.
Right.
And the draft, which is something that Kerry did not bring up, but will not go away. Young people in huge numbers believe that George W. Bush, no matter what he says, is going to reintroduce the draft. And the president now is taking Kerry to task for that. Let's hear from our commander in chief.
It is wrong to try to scare people going into the polls. That's what we have seen the last couple of days, and I suspect since his plans are nothing but complaints.
Now, that was in an interview. Yeah, complaints. That was an interview with the Associated Press.
They're accusing him of scare tactics. That is the pot calling the kettle. I mean, what is that?
Yeah, that's a little whack.
All this administration have is scare tactics and fear. I mean, they have a record of it. I can cite three of them right here. Like, okay, like when bad news comes, that's always the first diversion is the scare tactic. February 6th, okay, CIA Director George Tenet Thursday says Iraq never posed an imminent threat to the United States. All right, scare tactic, February 7th, the day after Tom raises the terror alert.
Yep. And now, this is all this year, by the way.
March 30th, Condi Rice continues to refuse to testify publicly in front of the 9/11 Commission. April 1st, okay, U.S. contractors killed and mutilated in Iraq, and Richard Clark is all over the news. April 2nd, FBI and Homeland Security warn that terrorists may try to bomb buses and rail lines in major U.S. cities this summer. All right, May 18th, Colin Powell tells Meet the Press that he was deliberately misled about WMD information. All right, May 19th, nothing but bad news about prisoner abuse in Iraq, including breaking news that Bush and the Pentagon were warned about the prison, told about the abuses back in November. All right, then the day after, the United States goes on orange alert.
And we here in New York are on orange plus.
Yeah. See, as soon as something happens, there's a distraction. You know, remember, be afraid. They have this built-in scare tactic that dismisses them from having to do it as a hands-on thing. They can just raise a terror alert and go, remember, vote for Bush and Cheney. Remember, be afraid. Who's your daddy?
Oh, Lord. You know, it really isn't a laughing matter. It is a scary, scary scenario that we're seeing played out in the days leading up to this election.
Yeah. Well, we got some real scary stuff coming up because we've got a guy who's written a book about anthrax. He's the author of Vaccine A, the covert government experiment that's killing our soldiers, and why GIs are only the first victims. This is some intense stuff. So stay with us. It's 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Okay, people, what do we have?
Doesn't look good. Patient is male, 28 years old, trying to get a loan for a new car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Late payments?
Yes, doctor.
Too many credit cards.
Affirmative.
I've got 6 credit cards and rising. Make that 7.
I've seen this before. What's his credit score?
No response.
What?
He doesn't know, doctor.
What? He went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan.
Why didn't he use Score Power from Equifax?
Clear.
How many people do we have to lose?
How's your financial health? Find out with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score. All for just $14.95. It's the first step toward healthy credit. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Doctor, come quick. There's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic. Run away.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
In November 2000, 34 million women who were eligible did not register or vote. This November, make your voice count.
Stand up, you can be heard. Send a message, spread the word. Mother, sister, it's your turn. Stand up, stand up. Vote for hope, vote for change. Vote to turn a brand new page. Vote for peace, change the stage.
This message was brought to you by StandUpAndVote.org.
If you care about health, you need to know about the benefits of balancing your fat intake. I'm Barb Harris with Smart Balance Buttery Spread. Scientists spent years searching for the ideal balance of dietary fats, avoiding cholesterol, hydrogenation, and trans fatty acids. Smart Balance uses patented blend of vegetable oils to make a delicious and healthy alternative to butter and margarine with award-winning taste. Smart Balance, you're really going to love it.
There he is.
Howard
discerning, college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the cheese at the gate, the score TV, the music, rocks, commercial, free discovery, MLB, and Patriot, with left and right to call the shots, Matt's affection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Vector, Traffic, Savage, Captain Pryor, Randy Rhodes, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock, but the
how is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the
cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's drugs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kids? Principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Hey!
We'll be with our guest in a moment, but of course I have to make it about me for another couple minutes. Here now is my dream diary from last night, which is going to surprise my therapist. It surprised me. Very disturbing. So I'm a producer at Fox News, and yes, I'm a working woman. Bill O'Reilly is my boss, and for months he's been trying to factor me. So I'm at the office, and he's standing over me trying to stare down my shirt. Now, I'm not bragging, but I like to say I like to stay feminine. I'm not too busy to hit the gym. You know, I like to look good. But not so Bill O'Reilly can drool in my hair. So one day he's standing behind me with a sad, tiny bulge in his pants, and I get an idea. I shake my long, beautiful hair, and I say, Bill. He says, yeah, baby, because you have really spectacular boobs. I say, tell me more. His eyes became glazed and bizarrely straight in opposite directions. He says, what? You've got a vibrator, don't you? Every girl does. I was really good on The Tonight Show. Really good. I'm a genius. I say, from now on, I'm going to call you Bill. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's getting really worked up, and he says, I'm going to get that wine into you as soon as I can, maybe intravenously. I say, oh, yeah, Bill, you're so much hotter than Franken, so much hotter. He says, and then I would take the other hand with the falafel thing and just kind of do that tease business. I say, keep going, Bill. I love it. I love it. And then I turn around slowly, and he's panting and sweating and clutching himself like an ape. He suspects nothing. And with one deadly stroke, I collapse his windpipe. And then with a lightning wheelhouse kick, I crush his jaw. And then with several brutal punches, I pummel his nads over and over until they're purple and tiny and useless. Bill O'Reilly lays whimpering and cowering on the floor, clutching his battered manhood. Breathing hard, I fix my hair and I say, and then what are you going to do, douchebag? Pee blood for a week? In a tiny voice, he says, yes. I say, yes, what? He says, yes, ma'am. I say, that's better. I didn't get a master's at Columbia to listen to this crap. I kicked him hard in the face, and I went out to get a salad and maybe a latte. I woke up, and my bed was filled with reinforced concrete. What a
wow.
day. What a night. No wonder I woke up sick. It's tough being a woman in your dreams.
Did your dream woman file a lawsuit?
It stressed me out. Gave me a cold.
What? Oh.
Did my dream wife? Oh, I don't know. I'll find out later tonight, I guess. Maybe if I take a nap, we can put this thing behind me. So our guest is a very interesting book. It's a powerful book. It's called Vaccine A, the Covert Government Experiment That's Killing Our Soldiers and Why GIs Are Only the First Victims. Gary Matsumoto is with us in studio. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Morning Sedition. I hope you didn't read the title of my book and think I'm trying to cause some trouble here.
Yeah, I'd love you to cause some trouble.
We would.
We got a lot of military people listening, a lot of people that want real information, real truth about the nature of power. And why do you say that the soldiers who are given anthrax is they're being used as guinea pigs? What's the premise of the book?
The basic premise is that the government has been trying to accelerate the development of a new anthrax vaccine that's been in the works for the last 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and that in a series of experiments on troops in combat, they got a lot of them sick.
But did they call them experiments, or did they tell the troops that you were being vaccinated for anthrax?
They were told they were getting the licensed vaccine, and I'm saying that there's clinical evidence and all sorts of other evidence to show that they were getting the doctored stuff, the new one that has been in the works since 1987 in its present form.
So they're being lied to and used.
That's the long short of it, yes.
Wait a minute. Now, this was an experimental vaccine you're saying that they were given?
Yes.
In lieu of the real deal?
Yes. The extraordinary thing is a lot of the evidence is right out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull some of these documents right off the Department of Defense website.
Wow.
When Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait in 1990, within 1 month, the Armed Forces Epidemiological Board sent out a force-wide memo to military doctors inviting them to submit research proposals because they said Desert Shield presented unique research opportunities. And if you read these documents, they planned outright experiments on troops while they were in theater.
That's incredible.
That's insane. So who okayed this? Does this go all the way up to the top of the chain of command? How does this unfold within the Pentagon?
I'm not sure how far up it went.
Mm-hmm.
It went at least up to the commander of the United States Army Medical Research Development Command at Fort Detrick. That's the top 3-star guy at Detrick. Did it go to the Joint Chiefs? I don't know. I know that they knew this. They had an anthrax vaccine shortage when they went to war in Iraq the first time, and they had to find a second source. And the evidence is they did find that source, except it wasn't the real stuff. It wasn't the licensed stuff.
How many guys who are in the field now or on the ground in Iraq have this vaccine in them?
That we don't know. We do know this, however. Some of these guys have been tested. They have antibodies to a substance that's only found in the experimental vaccine, not the licensed one.
Whoops.
And that means they've done it again.
So are the symptoms, what are they? I'm assuming that on some level, there's these vague sort of, Iraq war and Gulf War syndromes that this might have something to do with that.
Well, I'm saying in the book that a lot of the allegedly undiagnosed illnesses or undiagnosable illnesses
mm-hmm.
from the first war
mm-hmm.
are really misdiagnosed autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis and lupus, which are fully diagnosable.
Okay.
And these diseases can be induced with a substance that they've been adding to this new vaccine to turbocharge it. It's very weak. They needed to make it better, more powerful, and they added something that they shouldn't have put in there.
What did they add to it?
Yeah. And they added an oil. It's called squalene.
Yeah.
And you can eat this stuff. It's in olive oil. You can put it on your salad. You won't have any problems whatsoever. But just like you wouldn't put a Big Mac in the blender and inject that, you don't want to put this in your veins.
Whoa.
Because something very different will happen.
So you're saying that people have the genetic propensity towards a number of illnesses, say lupus or multiple sclerosis, that this could, accelerate it or bring on the disease itself. It might not come on otherwise.
It will cause the disease in right now in an unknown percentage of people, but it has been proven.
We got to go. Hold the thought. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got into the conversation. Gary Matsumoto is our guest. We'll talk about what you have to do if you have this problem and you're in the military after this on Air America Radio.
Who owns all of those trees in the national forest? We do.
Americans are being restricted from commenting on the use of our public lands. Scott Paul, Forest Campaign Coordinator for Greenpeace, explains.
These policies are being put in place to allow forest companies to forego the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Water Act. Some of the most bedrock environmental laws in this country are being dismantled and people are unaware.
60 million Americans get their clean drinking water off of national forest lands.
There's decades of work to be done in our national forests just in restoration alone. Hundreds of thousands of logging roads to nowhere, scarring our national forest system. And these roads have a very environmental effect.
To see the forest and not just the trees, branch out and learn more at www.greenpeace.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. Knock a little louder, baby. Bang, bang, bang on the door. Baby, I can't hear you. Bang, bang, bang on the door.
Fresh Snyder of the PWQ shimmies only on Sirius every Friday night at 9 Eastern. Party out of bounds to Fred exclusively on Sirius First Wave 22.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. From cavemen to Tim Allen, tools have always been in vogue. But now, this 3,000-year-old science is really taking off. Literally. When I come back, we'll pole vault into the tool age. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark. From the Stone Age, tools have made getting around an art. But now, this industry's gone cyber. Arum International's designed the ultimate, a tool that tests and helps perfect other tools. Called the Variable Dynamic Testbed Vehicle, its complex drive-by-wire systems enable researchers to study drivers' and vehicles' reactions to and work out the bugs in new technologies in a virtual world. Result? Time and life-saving innovations, like collision avoidance and navigation systems. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can crush a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Their music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. But a little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after that. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem. Hey, now this is Dr. Jones with a message from MAP and a partnership for a drug-free America.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the air. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Past the hour, we're sitting here with Gary Matsumoto, the author of Vaccine A, the covert government experiment that's killing our soldiers, and why GIs are only the first victims. It's very deep stuff. I want to solicit some calls from military people who are curious about this, because it could be at the bottom of a lot of the health problems from people coming back from Iraq and also from the Gulf. And we're just at the tip of the iceberg here. 866-303-2270 is the number.
Gary, do we have a baseline estimate as to how many troops in Iraq right now have been injected with the experimental rather than the licensed anthrax vaccine?
No, we don't know, and that's something that only the Department of Defense knows.
But they do know.
Well,
they just won't share.
I am saying that the forensic scientific evidence, the sort of evidence that you see featured every week on CSI Miami, is the evidence that shows that some of these individuals already have it injected with the new stuff.
Really?
Yes.
So talk about this squalene. That we were talking on the break that this stuff is an untested and obviously a very dangerous bit of business. And you're saying that the same manufacturer of some of the current flu vaccines in Britain is also the manufacturer of squalene.
Yeah. It's called Chiron Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And it sells three flu vaccines, one of which contains squalene that is only available in Europe. It's not licensed for use in the United States. Chiron has actually been developing this oil additive for use by the Department of Defense and the National Institutes of Health in a range of brand new, cutting-edge, genetically engineered vaccines for not just for the military, but for you and me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that includes a new flu vaccine, that includes all the prototype HIV vaccines, malaria, herpes, and one that is specifically designed for all women. Human papillomavirus. Human papillomavirus is associated with about 93% of all cervical cancers. National Institutes of Health has been hoping to wipe out this form of cancer with a vaccine. Guess what it contains?
Squalene.
Absolutely.
So the real demon here is squalene. And you were saying that the flu vaccine available in Europe contains some squalene, but it's not passed by the FDA here, yet they still used it on the troops. How?
Well, I'm saying that they are selectively testing lots of the experimental stuff on troops in order to figure out what is the optimal dosage. And unfortunately, the clinical evidence from Tulane University Medical School in New Orleans is that there is no safe dosage for this stuff. A tiny amount, an infinitesimally small amount, can cause severe incurable disease.
Are you saying, Gary, and does your book say, Vaccine A, the covert government experiment that's killing our soldiers, are you saying that this government is knowingly giving a dangerous vaccine to possibly hundreds of thousands of American soldiers without their prior knowledge?
Yes, that is what the clinical evidence shows, and that those soldiers include my nephew, who's a Marine in Okinawa.
Now, does anybody in Congress have a clue about any of this?
No, I think they've been systematically misinformed by certain elements of the military medical command. They have been telling everybody for decades that their old vaccine is perfectly safe and protects against every strain. Well, wrong. It doesn't protect against every strain. They've known that since the early 60s, and that's one of the reasons why they've been trying to replace it. You know that AIM strain that got mailed all over the place here in the United States
right
in 2001? Well, in 1986, they exposed a bunch of guinea pigs injected with the licensed anthrax vaccine, and you know what the AIM strain did? It wiped them all out. All dead.
Wiped them out.
Wiped them out. None of them survived.
Hmm.
And that's one of the main reasons why we've been trying to come up with a new vaccine.
God, this is scary.
Yeah, we've got a Gulf War vet on the phone. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Great. Hey, I love the show, fellas. You guys keep me awake and down the highway a lot of mornings.
Thanks a lot, man.
My question is for your guest. I was in the first Gulf War, and they were handing out the anthrax vaccinations. Well, my dad and my uncles were both Vietnam veterans, and they kind of told me to stay away from any type of vaccinations that they were trying to give us over there. I found out what it was. I avoided it, but they were handing out a lot of punishments to soldiers who were refusing to take it. My question is, did I save myself from anything by refusing and avoiding this vaccination?
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks
for your call. The number is 866-303-2270. Can you address that question?
Absolutely, Jeff. I think you did a very smart thing. Now, I'm not somebody who wants to encourage insubordination.
Uh-huh.
And for you guys in the military or have been in the military, taking this shot has been a direct order. On the other hand, I would say that the military's propensity to experiment on you guys is out of order. It's unethical. It's illegal. They shouldn't do it, and I think you should resist.
We're talking to Gary Matsumoto, the author of Vaccine A, the covert government experiment that's killing our soldiers. Now, there is a precedent, historically, of the government experimenting on troops, is there not?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody knows about the atomic veterans. You know, they wanted to test to see how radioactivity affected troops.
Yes.
So here's your Ray-Bans. Don't look at the fireball. That's it.
Yeah, here's your Ray-Bans. Here's your lounger. Relax.
The LSD.
Yeah.
LSD was tested on various members of the military, including scientists at Fort Detrick. Well, what people don't realize is they've never stopped.
Been retested by a couple of my friends.
yeah, absolutely. What people think, or people don't understand, that this activity has never stopped.
Right. Wasn't there, what was the syphilis thing? Wasn't there
that was a Tuskegee experiment.
That was Tuskegee, but you know what? That was the government. The U.S. Public Health Service did that. And they denied black sharecroppers in the Tuskegee area in Alabama.
They denied them treatment.
They denied them treatment because they wanted to see how this disease would affect them. So they just didn't give them any medicine. It was outrageous. And people thought, the public thinks, that this activity stopped when that was exposed in the early 80s, and it didn't.
So the real culprit here is this squalene stuff. And they're completely aware of this happening, the government. And that just blows my mind. What can people do if they feel that they might be possessing some of these symptoms? And how can they bring it to their attention? And when is it going to come out?
Well, one of the things you can do to determine whether or not you've been injected with this stuff is to go to your doctor and ask to see whether you can get referred to a rheumatologist, which is a doctor who specifically treats autoimmune diseases.
And tell them about the vaccine.
You can talk about this, and then you can also try to contact some of the scientists at Tulane Medical School and ask whether you can submit your sera for testing. If you have the antibodies, they're based on the study that they've been running now for the last 7 years. You probably have been injected with it.
Right. We've got a research scientist on the phone that has some question about what you're saying. Kristen in Ohio, good morning.
Hi, Kristen.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yes, I actually work with the testing of the new generation anthrax vaccine, and I was just wondering where you're getting your information that the current licensed anthrax vaccine is not protective. And second of all, if you understand that the purpose of producing this new vaccine is because it's so much cleaner and safer than the current vaccine, it's made from a cell filtrate. This is made from a single protein that is much, much safer, less reactive in most individuals. And that the current vaccine has been, there's no rhyme or reason to the regimen in which it's, you know, in which it's distributed. And there's a lot of reasons why this new vaccine is much, much better.
All right, well, let's let him address those questions. Gary, could you address that? Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, Kristen.
Sure, absolutely. The information comes from scientific papers published in peer-reviewed journals by the Army's top scientists at Fort Detrick in the 1960s and in the 1980s. And this research, this conclusion that the old vaccine was inadequate and that the design for it was untenable was also reached by scientists at the British military installation at the Center for Applied Microbiological Research at Porton Down. Now, they're saying that the old vaccine, which is only just one little protein secreted by the organism, will do nothing to promote an immune response to clear the germ from the body itself.
Now, that's the licensed vaccine.
Yeah, they're basically saying there isn't enough. In fact, in immunology, if you understand immunology, the more pure something is, the weaker it is. There is less for the immune system to react to. And that is why they added this oil to get a stronger immune response.
Wow. We've got Joe on the phone who is in the Gulf War. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Hi, Mark and Mark.
How are you doing?
Enjoy listening to you. I was listening this morning to this topic. I was a physician with the Army during the Persian Gulf War, and I just heard you on. I wasn't sure if you spoke about using the pyridostigmine bromide tablets as a nerve agent antidote, sort of a pre-treatment.
Yeah.
Never approved for use for that by the FDA, yet we essentially distributed them to the 500,000 soldiers over there and told them to take them, not knowing what might happen, since it had never been studied as a prophylaxis.
Okay.
Treatment of nerve agent exposure.
Was there negative results from that physically?
Well, we don't know. You know, we ended up with this Gulf War syndrome, which no one ever really was able to define. It was probably, may have been the first disease ever classified named by the Congress of the United States rather than medical personnel.
Wow, thanks, Joe. Let's let Gary address those questions.
Joe, I really appreciate you raising that point. I would say, however, that the argument that pyridostigmine bromide could have caused anybody problems is poorly supported, given that it is a licensed medicine that has been administered to people with a specific disease, myasthenia gravis, since the 1940s, and nothing like Gulf War syndrome has ever been reported in these patients.
Oh, so it's just a different application of something.
It was a different application. Exactly. Okay.
Well, wow, this has been very informative, and I feel like we could talk all morning, but Gary Matsumoto, thank you. The book is Vaccine A, the Covert Government Experiment That's Killing Our Soldiers, and Why GIs Are Only the First Victims. You can get that at a discount on our website at morningsedition.com, and man, that just blew my mind.
I'll never go near a needle again.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
And now, haiku from professional wrestler Mick Foley.
I hate Dick Cheney. He must taste Mr. Sacco. His heart's a machine.
This has been Morning Sedition Haiku with Mick Foley.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol arthritis pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
This is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol arthritis pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
There's this type of breakdown.
Great, George. Now what do we do?
Which can lead to this kind of breakdown. And then there's serious Monday Night Breakdown. Leading into the big game, Mike and Larry get you pumped up and primed with a complete analysis and highlights for the next game. The Monday Night Breakdown, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute.
Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
The 2000 presidential election was decided by only 537 votes. On November 2nd, your vote can make a tremendous difference. Take the first step to ensure that your voice is heard. Register. JustVote.org is a non-profit organization where you can register online quickly and easily. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's your democracy. Make it work. JustVote.org.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Yo!
Air America Radio. Feeling a little congested.
A little hoarse.
You know, Gary Matsumoto, the author that we just had on of Vaccine A, the covert government experiment that's killing our soldiers, said that as he was leaving, that this administration, that Bush has bought 75,000 new vaccines, and whether they're licensed or not, if there's some threat or there's an attack here in New York or wherever you live, you're going to get that vaccine.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, raising awareness to this stuff and looking at this book, and I will poke around to see if there's any other resources that we can share with you on this, and we will when we have them. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 113. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, yes, good morning. So I hear you're worried about your upcoming elections, and you just don't have enough experienced poll workers to pull it off. Well, now I appreciate your commitment to democracy, but hey, loosen up, buddy. Elections don't have to be a big drag. The way you're acting, you think that elections have something to do with representing the will of the people. So your poll workers are a little green. Big deal. Isn't it more important for them to get out there and make friends in the community than sweat over who voted for who? So a few votes fall through the cracks. Whatever. It's no catastrophe. I mean, that's how we got President Bush. I know how you feel. Okay. Elections are mostly just a show anyway. Elections are mostly just for show anyway, and no one expects you to get it right the first time. Hell, it's been 220 years, and we're still working on the little kinks. Okay, big kinks. Got it. But totally manageable kinks. Lovable kinks. Get it? Good. So you just go right ahead and make those fresh-faced and confident, terrified youngsters into poll workers, and after all of your candidates win in a laughably unfair landslide, you can turn to them and say, well done, patriot. Your country thanks you. Anyhow, good luck and God bless. This is day 113 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. Having trouble talking and breathing.
And you're drinking tea, and you got lemon here, you got water here.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's been good then. It was rainy today when we got here.
Yeah.
Now, we got some interesting stuff coming up. Let's revisit the story about that squadron.
The Refuseniks, the 343rd Quartermaster Company.
Yeah. They refused to go on a run to deliver fuel to protect a fuel transport vehicle because they felt that their Humvees were ill-equipped, i.e., not protected in any way.
They didn't just feel it. The military later admitted it.
Yeah, they would definitely be ambushed and possibly killed.
Yes.
So they saved some lives, their own, and probably others.
They did, but they may face charges. I don't know that they necessarily will, but they could certainly face a court-martial. Disobeying a direct order is a very, very serious offense in the military, and disobeying a direct order during time of war. And see, although we may not have officially declared war, if the guy in the White House says we're at war, they may try and prosecute them based on that.
Yeah, but I mean, just the politics of it. I mean, we had guys call yesterday. Some guy called yesterday and, you know, and belligerently compared it to Normandy. If the guys in Normandy had refused, that was really a different situation. The sense of, you know, the sensibilities of being a soldier and also the tactics were very much different. And the reason we were at war was very much different. And we had a call, you know, from a guy who was in Vietnam, which is a very comparable situation, a quagmire, a guerrilla war, you know, where things are scattered, where even the commanders on the ground aren't as clear as they should be of what's going on. You know, clearly from the beginning, these soldiers have been ill-equipped. And this is a guy from Vietnam. He emailed us yesterday, quote, "You were speaking about the unit in Iraq that refused to go on the convoy. I was in Vietnam, class of 71, and we started to have units refusing to go on patrol. Who wants to be the last one to die in Vietnam? The military wanted to keep that stuff quiet so as not to spread to units all over the country. Usually they would move out the squad to another or separate them to other units. Little disciplinary action was taken as command was afraid of a strike." So that's sort of interesting that,
yeah,
you know, that in these types of situations, they know, the military commanders know what's going on.
Oh, they know.
They didn't anticipate it getting the press like this. They didn't anticipate, you know, a soldier calling home. This is where, you know, the internet and modern technology and access to information, you know, really works to sort of spread some truth around.
Well, not only that, I mean, what's scary about this entire scenario, when you compare it to Normandy, all right, let's look at that comparison. What do you think American soldiers would have said or done had those vehicles that they used to get from the boats to the beach?
Right.
Suppose they had started developing, suppose people knew ahead of time that those things couldn't get them to the beach.
Right.
That they started leaking and sinking on their way in.
Well, I would imagine at that time that the commanders would have taken care of it. You know, I think that things are kind of fragmented over there. And we've got evidence. Here's some bit of evidence. During the Vietnam War, 53 soldiers of two platoons with the American, Americal Division refused orders to advance and retrieve a damaged helicopter and their commanding officer's armored vehicle on March 20th, 1971. The commanding officer was relieved and the troops refusing the orders reassigned. No disciplinary action was planned against the men who had come under heavy fire and refused the order because they were trying to save equipment.
Yeah. Now, and by the way, during the Second World War, if people want to go back that far, there were a group of black soldiers who were ordered to go on a ship and disarm some bombs that were live. Okay?
Yeah.
Many of those black soldiers refused to do so. They got court-martialed, and they only got exonerated a few years ago. So there is a history here. There is a history of people disobeying orders that they feel are going to cost them their lives. And the black soldiers back during the Second World War, because remember, the army was segregated then. The armed forces were segregated. They paid a very heavy price for their disobedience.
Yeah. I mean, this is profound stuff. And that was obviously, you know, racist and wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're going to talk to a parent of one of the soldiers, because this is not a question of patriotism. Okay, this is, you know, this is an issue with these soldiers refusing to do this, of being smart and of making a statement to get people well equipped. The story you were telling about was heinous because, I mean, they used to use minorities in the worst ways.
Yes.
You know, always in the worst ways. And even in this war, there was argument about that too as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, there are arguments that there was a disproportionate share of people of color dying over in Iraq. And if you look at the numbers, you might still come to that particular conclusion. First of all, people of color are disproportionately represented in the armed forces anyway.
Yeah.
By dint of a number of situations within American society. But the bottom line here is, this is a very, very scary scenario. When you're being asked to go out in something that you know ahead of time could cost you your life, under circumstances that could cost you your life. You really have to make a very hard and fast decision about whether you're going to follow that order.
And just the stuff that's against them, just what you're saying about how minorities were treated, and also this vaccine thing we were talking about, and them expecting to fight under these conditions, it's really, it's all stilted against the soldier.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know how people think that we're honoring our soldiers by treating them this way. We are going to be talking in the next hour to the father of one soldier who refused orders to drive an unsafe vehicle in Iraq. We also have on tap comedian Scott Blakeman and Planet Bush as we roll on here on Air America Radio.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. We're 2 weeks before the election. Most polls are still projecting the presidential contest at a dead heat. Neither leading candidate has delivered that knockout punch with the voters. This according to a New York Times CBS poll. But what's most telling about the latest poll numbers is that George W. Bush's job approval ratings remain in the toilet. The figure now stands at 44%. It stands a dangerously low number for an incumbent president. Figure is also the lowest of his tenure. Respondents to the latest survey say they are unhappy about the way the president has handled the war in Iraq, nation's economy, and are beginning to echo John Kerry's refrain that the tax cuts are only helping the nation's wealthy. The New York Times CBS poll was conducted shortly after the last presidential debate between Bush and Kerry. President Bush yesterday again declared all that talk about a restoration of the nation's military draft is nothing more than a shameless campaign strategy by the opposition. Bush brought it up in an Air Force One interview with the AP just yesterday. Listen.
We're in the middle of a campaign, and my opponent is saying there's a secret plan to institute the draft. There is no secret plan to institute the draft. That's what I'm talking about. And it's shameful politics to do that. This is the politics of scare tactics.
That was the president yesterday on Air Force One. This morning, the nation's paper of record reports that the U.S. Elector Service is considering a plan for a draft of medical practitioners around the country in the event of a national emergency. There's concern that there may be a depletion within the ranks of medical doctors, nurses, and other health care workers in the military. New York Times says the service hired a private contractor over the summer to determine how such a draft would work. That contractor was to devise a plan quietly that would make the draft palatable to the public, ease the concerns of those families affected, and not make the program sound like a restoration of the military draft. Shameless scare tactics were the words President Bush used to describe Kerry's recent criticism of him on the issues of Social Security and the military draft. Bush told the Air Force One interview given to the AP that he would also be very disappointed if the Iraqi people chose an Islamic fundamentalist government in free elections, but Bush added that democracy is democracy. On the issue of nuclear weaponry, Bush said that he does not think Iran and North Korea are any bigger threat than they were when he took office back in 2001. Iraq's interim government is pushing for a nationwide arms amnesty next week based on the success of a cash for guns program underway outside Baghdad among former Shia militiamen. Despite the impending campaign, the government insists the city of Fallujah must turn in foreign militants or face assault. Latest declaration of force against those elements came from the National Security Advisor. The government minister would not set a timetable for such action. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Boston best-selling rock music Uber author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics, and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays, 10 to noon Eastern. Sirius Talk Central 148.
I'm Bobby Lycus with today's Car Clinic Minute. Back to school and bored with reading, writing, and arithmetic? Don't despair. I'll give you four exciting lessons torn from the pages of my favorite book, Cars and Why I Love Them, when we come back. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Want to have some fun at school today? Then rev up to give your teacher a lesson in car history, literature, social science, and math. History. In World War I, the Allies commandeered taxis in Paris for rushing troops to front lines, halting Germans at the Marne. Literature. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby had two stars, Jay Gatsby and his cream-colored Rolls Royce. Social science. The first driver's license was issued in Denver in 1906 and cost only a dollar. Math. It all adds up. Cars are great. I'm Bobby Lycus. Lycus, you'll love us.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dimbalki. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for us. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
Hi, this is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses. How about a little of this? Here's a classic.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
You know what? You know what, Mark? It's Mark Riley there.
Hi!
I can't stop myself.
If you have any questions about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad. I don't like him. John Kerry bad. John Kerry loses.
Me don't like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry, my poop, fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry. John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this episode.
For our new listeners, that was the origination of Fire Truck and John Fire Truck Kerry, which sort of caught on in the world of the Morning Sedition blog, morningsedition.com. And also, one of the guys who's on the blog occasionally came to the Mohegan Sun last week and brought me a fire truck.
I saw that,
and
yeah.
For us, it's for you, it's for me and you. It had John Kerry and John Edwards on one side of the box, and me and you, Mark Riley, Mark Maron on the other side. And he enclosed a picture that he had done on Photoshop, I guess. And he's got Kerry with his hands up in front of a crowd, and in one hand he's got a fire truck, and in the other hand he's got a shoe.
Yeah. Your shoe.
Yeah, my red shoe. But Chris did that, and, you know, and he came up after the show, and then he wrote me an email the other day. And speaking of anthrax, you know, he scared the hell out of me about aspartame.
Really?
Like, yeah, because I drink Diet Coke, and I brought a Diet Coke on stage, and I had some, you know, simian idiot. Is that the word? Simian? Is that ape-like?
Yeah.
Some guy, like, I brought a Diet Coke on stage to the Mohegan Sun, and the guy goes, Diet Coke! And he just kept saying it. And then this guy, Chris, who brought me the fire truck, wrote me an email saying maybe the Diet Coke guy was trying to say something to me in this weird, cryptic way. Maybe there was a mystical moment occurring that I should be more aware of what's in Diet Coke because it causes mental retardation. And I guess that would be the ultimate karma for me misusing the word retard occasionally, that I actually become mentally challenged because of my Diet Coke problem.
But the guy from the audience, if he was so stupid, how did he wind up at your show?
Dude, it was in a casino. Did I not make that clear? It was a casino in Connecticut.
Are you saying that people who patronize casinos are dummies?
People are people. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't think he came to my show knowing what he was going to see. He's like, hey, what's in this room? How much is it? I don't care. I just wanted the tables. You know, so he came in. And, you know, he disrupted the show. I got some laughs out of it for a little while because it was a fairly flailing performance art experiment in neurotic meltdowns and hostility. But I like those kind of shows because if I don't know what's going to happen, at least I know it's interesting.
Wow. You know, see, I never gamble.
Yeah.
I used to when I was young.
I don't want to talk about it.
The most I have ever gambled, and this was when I was working somebody else's slot machine while I went to the men's room.
Yeah.
I won $37 in quarters one time. That was it.
I don't know. I just.
And I tried to give the money to the guy who would actually put the money. He said, no, you won it. It's yours.
Yeah.
That is my total experience with gambling at casinos. And this was, you know, in Vegas. They have one-armed bandits in the men's room, it seems like. This was in an IHOP, no less.
I got to be honest with you. The casino up there at Mohegan Sun was pretty nice as far as casinos go. There was a lot of, artisanry, a lot of beautiful work of woodwork and sculpture work. They had a big Kablooey, sculpture. What's that guy's name? The glass sculptor. The glass sculptor from Seattle, the famous guy.
I'll look it up.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'll look it up. But, I'm not usually a fan of his work, but the sculpture they have up there. But I'm not blowing, tooting the horn of the Mohegan Sun. I'm just saying, as an experience, the food was good, too. And they give you they want you to. That's the weirdest thing about casinos. You could drop $800 and drive away saying, yeah, but they gave us three breakfasts. I mean, what is that?
Do they walk up to you when we just found out you lost $800. Would you like a ticket for the free breakfast buffet tomorrow?
Dude, I already had the free breakfast buffet, but as they saw me sitting there getting bad cards and yelling at the dealer in a nice way, I had this weird kind of dysfunctional relationship with this woman who was dealing the cards, just sort of like, what are you doing to me? Why? What did I do to you? Why do we have to break up? It was really sad. They offered me a card, though, where I could just continue to draw money on my room if I wanted to.
Wow.
But I drew a line because not out of guilt. Honestly, I made, enough money on the gig to sort of make up for what I lost.
Tremendous losses you experienced at the gaming table.
I knew that in my head. But I also got an email from somebody who wrote me today that said they'd never been to a stand-up show and they had a great time.
Really? At Mohegan Sun?
Yes, of course, that's the old joke. I'm saying, wow, what show were they at? that old joke about the comic? The girl comes up to the comic. He's on the road, and it's the next day after he's doing a weekend. And he's just done a Saturday night show, and he's at the mall, and some girl comes up to him at the mall and says, oh, my God, I saw you last night, and I want to have sex with you right now. And the comic goes, really, what show? First or second show? I do. Why don't we do this? I'd like to say that, maybe I can say it. I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And as always, I'm offering my counsel, and this is the first time in quite a week that we've done this, but it's time, to my temporary sponsee, George W. Now, look, I've been hearing a lot of crazy rumors about you, okay, that you had a stroke, or you're having a mental breakdown, or, stuff like that, but from where I sit, that would be good news compared to what I know you're actually doing, my friend. That ring a bell? Oh, yeah, that's obvious, okay? When it comes to drinking, it takes one to know one, and I'm looking at the man who's back on the juice big time. And that mashed up crease on your face, that's not a stroke. That's I spent the night face down on the bathroom tiles. That's what that is. I've been there. I once had a floral pattern on my cheek for a month. You dig? All right. Now, look, I know you're going to have to hit bottom before things will get better, and I don't expect things to get better before the election, but I don't have to hit bottom. But look, I don't have to hit your your bottom, and neither does the planet. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So if you're not going to stop drinking, and you're not going to go to a meeting, and you're not going to call me, the only advice I have for you is this. Put a soft bath mat down in the bathroom. You'll thank me in the morning, all right, buddy? So try, please. You know, this is about attraction, not promotion, but try to keep the plug in the jug. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Keep one. If you have one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. It's alcoholism, not wasm. Get to a meeting. All right, please, help us all. Come clean. Get to a meeting, George W. All right, so hopefully we will get our guest on the line. I don't know if that's
right now. I don't think we have him yet. But
we're planning on talking to one of the fathers of one of the protesting.
Ricky Shealy.
Yeah, his son Scott was one of the people in the squadron that refused to go on the mission because they were ill-equipped, and I may be having some trouble getting him. But we do have Scott Blakeman. He's a comedian, and he's got some things going on in light of the election. And we have me and Mark, and it's Air America, and it's 13 past the hour. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Why is House Majority Leader Tom DeLay still in power? The former exterminator has gotten into more trouble than a kitchen full of roaches. He's now been slapped 3 times by the House Ethics Committee and faced an IRS complaint and a racketeering suit. But that's not all. According to Mother Jones, 3 sets of state and federal investigators may finally be closing in on DeLay. First, there's Texas, where DeLay fundraisers have been charged with felonies for possibly laundering money for a group he founded and helped run. Prosecutors haven't ruled out charging DeLay. Then there's Louisiana, where lobbyists flaunting their ties with DeLay bilked $32 million out of an 800-member Native American tribe. Grand jury subpoenas in the case are flying around like confetti. Even Imelda Marcos has gotten one. The Senate is also investigating the scandal, and DeLay, a.k.a. the Hammer, is facing yet another House ethics count. House Republicans are used to having lightning rods as leaders, but are they really crazy enough to stand by this man? It looks like only a felony charge will finally get them to nail the Hammer. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a 4-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2000. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Best-selling rock music Hoover author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics, and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays 10 to noon Eastern, Sirius Talk Central 148.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe. Just maybe it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
God, it's 19 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo!
You're listening to Morning Sedition. My sinus cavity is slowly filling with goo as my voice starts to break apart. Good morning, cold. Good morning, fall. Wow. I was going good all the way, Kalo. All the way up to right now. And all of a sudden, I feel the nasal cavity swelling.
You can do it.
Huh? Right. I got no problem. I can see the finish line. I'm not worried about it. Maybe I'll start to sound more interesting. And people are like, I really like Mark Maron's voice better when it's all scrappy. Maybe he's got surgery and have one of his vocal cords scraped or something. Here we go with the presidential palm pilot, which Ramon brought by wearing a hard hat for some reason. I don't know why, but here's the schedule for today. 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. John Kerry loves the draft. He expects all of you to fight. 8 o'clock a.m. Do exercises to correct lopsided morning face. 8:30 a.m. Tell media to set aside an hour for another major presidential address. Topic, why Kerry hates Florida, greatest state in the universe. 9 a.m. Attend rally, St. Petersburg, Florida. Note, jokingly remind them that my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Non-union. 11:40 a.m. Speak at rally, Newport Richey, Florida. Note, warn them about John Kerry's secret plan to abolish golf. 2:40 p.m. Speak at rally, The Villages, Florida. Fun game. Repeat speech word for word from last week's rally in Detroit. See if they notice. 6:25 p.m. back in Washington. Call banker. See if missing $2.5 billion from Iraq has hit Dad's checking account yet. 10 p.m. bedtime. Listen to gut. The gut says, screw the wonks. Take decisive action. Two pillows. No apologies. There you go. The laugh that you're hearing over to my right, if you have the special stereo sync up where you actually hear me in the middle and then Riley on one speaker and our guest today, Scott Blakeman, the comic and host and co-producer of Laughs from the Left, a liberal dose of political humor is here. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Mark.
Who I've known for years.
Yes.
So tell us about this glorious event that you're doing to help the cause.
Well, you know, Mark, you were talking a few minutes ago about working in the casinos, and that's part of comedy, which we embrace,
oh, yes.
And then comedy because we embrace. But I've had the greatest experience over the last year doing a series at Ethical Culture Society, the one in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be October 28th in Manhattan at this beautiful 800-seat landmark theater. And I'll be hosting it, and we'll have Reno, Warren Thomas, Brian Dykstra, Dino Badala, Barry Warren
Thomas,
people like that. Yes.
Look out, it's raining indoors, and I've got my goggles on. Hello.
We got all that, so it's great. And, you know, the ethical culture, basically the antithesis of the Bush administration, basically everything they stand for. So it's a great group. I opened for one of their advocacy forums. Is Nadine Strossen, Craig Unger, and me. You know,
oh, my God.
It's a great group of people to be involved
that's
with.
It, so that is, first, a comedian.
Yeah,
people are like, how does this fit in? This doesn't seem to be weighing things. How'd they respond to it?
It was great, actually. It was great.
What do they do, the Ethical Culture Institute situation thing, what you're talking
about? Well, actually, this show will be a benefit for their social outreach programs, get out the vote programs. I mean, they just stand for all those great progressive things, and they get the word out.
The Society for Ethical Culture.
Yeah.
I mean,
my parents are thrilled about that. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
I spoke before the Ethical Culture Society in New Jersey just last week.
Oh, that's a get. Those are the people.
Same people, the Ethical Culture Society.
Those are good people.
Yeah, yes. They're good people. And they listen to Morning Sedition.
Which is even better. And they probably sit there and go, that Maron guy's wrong. Thank God Riley is there to balance this now. Because with Maron rambling on, there's no ethical law to the universe.
No, there was plenty of love for you in the room,
too. Oh, thank God. So what do you know? What say something, Mark.
I'm trying to talk myself.
No, no, no. Well, it's okay. I do that several times.
So you saw the debates. You're obviously keeping fresh on things.
Absolutely.
You've got to go up there. So what was your...
Well, I mean, again, you know, the new poll today that shows it's so close. How could it even be close if anybody watched the debates? Of course, you know, the rumor from the first debate that Bush was wired.
Yeah.
Getting advice from his advisors. Those who saw that first debate and how horribly did... What possible advice?
Exactly.
Act stupid. Have absolutely no command of the facts at all. Flounder miserably. You know.
Stare blankly.
Yeah, and this is, you know, had he not had the advice, can you imagine how he...
Then we get the second debate.
Flying
off flying, the handle.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, as you talked about the back on the whatever
he's
on.
Have you seen that picture? Man, I got to show you this. This is the weird defibrillator pack. That
I
might
think
have
it's
had.
A jetpack, man. I think he was going to fly.
I asked another question.
You
don't want to vote for me? Watch what I can do. I'm levitating. Look at me. I think he was on blow. That's what
I
think, Blakeman.
Anything to get him off hand. You know, we really have the negotiations about the debate. I think the Bush camp wanted no time for answers. Because, you know, because he's the only candidate who feels he's allotted too much time to answer a question. He just,
how about education?
Yeah.
Good. How much money? 40. I should have desks. Desks are good. Was it a minute 30, and then he takes a jetpack and goes out of there. You know.
That was great. That president can fly.
Yeah, and that's all you need. And, you know.
So what about are you talking about the war on stage?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of pathetic that, you know, the whole run-up to war and the debate about the war in this country lasted less than the Red Sox-Yankee game last night, really. You know, so 5 hours of that and the war. What, about an hour? Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
And, it's pathetic. And, of course, you know, and to the mainstream media, a couple of weeks ago, no weapons. You never tried to have weapons. Now the news used to be a year ago, Saddam was saying his weapons of mass destruction because he unleashed in 45 minutes. Now I think the line is he once had weapons of mass destruction related programs. He had a brochure, basically. You know.
Yeah. He had an idea.
He had intent to. He'd like to have them, as if that really separates him from every other country. Are there any countries going, you know what? I'd rather have no weapons. I've got a studio country. It's kind of cramped. I don't have enough room
for weapons.
No. I don't want to defend myself.
Yeah. Will you defend this, please?
Scott Wagman, you're a Jew.
I am, Mark, and it's a nice way of putting it.
That's a scary thing to do. Scott, you're a Jew.
Mark and I do JCCs, and so it's a good idea how well the career is going.
But I don't do them anymore. But anyway,
there you go.
We're not doing it.
I am actually doing one in a few months in Richmond. I say that only because, you know, I too am a Jew, but you work with Dino Vidala, he's a guest on our show. He has been on our show. He's a Palestinian.
Yes.
Do you guys get up and do like a team thing?
Or? Yeah, we actually have a show called Stand Up for Peace. We were just at Jimmy Tingle's Theater in Somerville, Mass. over the weekend. We did Harvard over the weekend, and it's a great experience. I mean, talking about things that are not discussed other than on Air America, in the mainstream media, in the debates, not one mention of the presidential debates of the Middle East situation, which is incredible.
No one talks about it. We barely talk about it here. We're frightened.
Dean and I, we just use suit. No, it's not discussed. It's just everyone's in denial about it. And you know, so Brent Scowcroft said that Bush is mesmerized by Sharon, look, I'm very proud to be Jewish. I perform at JCC's temples, and Jewish Week called me the king of comedy at Jewish singles events, which is
but see, but the real question is, okay, I hear what you're saying, and I've said what you're saying before, but how do you feel about Israel? See, then all of a sudden you're going to start.
Well, no, absolutely. You know, just like we talked about the U.S., Bush is horrible for the U.S., and I think Sharon is horrible for Israel. And it's not, you know, it's all about Judaism, too. You know, Judaism is about compassion, helping other people. It's the antithesis of what the Sharon government represents. And first of all, it's failing. You know, so that's what Bush and Sharon have in common. Their policies are all failing. And, you know, that's the thing I can say about with Bush. You know, everything he's touched is wrong. People go, but he's a regular guy.
No, he's not. Yeah, right.
You know, why do you want a regular guy as president? You don't want a regular guy in any other walk of life. You're having surgery. How's a surgeon? A moron, but he's a regular guy. He has no skills, but he's funny about it. He doesn't know where the organs are. He goes with his gut. And I think this may be the organ, but if it's the wrong organ, I'll stick with it. I'll stay the course. Yeah.
Do you still, I'm going to go off script here.
Oh, we have no
script. Which we did anyways. But I mean, it has nothing, what I mean by that is it has nothing to do with what you're doing with this Society for Ethical. What you still teach your class?
I teach at the New School of Stand-Up Workshop, which actually John Stewart took in the beginning.
John Stewart took a class with Scott Blakeman.
That's right.
As did Caroline Ray.
As did Caroline Ray and some other folks, too. And actually, I don't know if there are teachers listening. I think you'd agree there's no greater joy for a teacher than having your student's career far surpass your own.
And then have them not give you a job when they get
Well, I haven't asked.
What was the grade, Professor Blakeman?
It's all very passive.
pass fail kind of thing.
What's the grade?
The grade is F.
That's right. Well, people always say, did you know them? You know, but no, he's always been
was John Stewart a good student?
Yeah, he was. He was. He was funny, and I love what he did with Tucker Carlson. You know, so I think John does a great job, and he's definitely one of the good guys out there.
We were talking about that because now Tucker has, I guess, stated that they're officially in a media feud, which means that Tucker is going to now use John's assault on him as a way to, aggrandize himself.
Of course,
you know, which is, I wonder if John bargained for that. But how do you teach stand-up comedy?
I don't know if you can really teach. You know, so a student the other night, last night literally, a teacher Monday nights, and she said, this class changed my life. I sound like sort of an infomercial at 3 in the morning, but sometimes I wonder, am I doing enough? Because I really try to encourage people just, as you know, there are a million teachers and comedy books, which
well,
I have a lot of problems
with. We're going to ask for a tidbit after this break.
Okay, I'll try to think of it.
Okay.
All right. When we come back, more with Scott Blakeman. We're going to take your phone calls at 866-303-2270. We've got Planet Bush and the Liberal Agenda all here on Air America Radio.
Million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering health care costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and health care costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of health care.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Howard Stern in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the cheese at the gate, the Score TV, the music rocks, commercial-free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laurie Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Hazen Cryer, Randy Rose, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
I'm Bobby Lycos with today's Car Clinic Minute. Doing things the old-fashioned way may be great for churning ice cream, but not for churning up the racetrack. When we come back, we'll crank up the power.
I'm Bobby Lycos with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Churning ice cream may be a treat, but steering the old-fashioned way on the racetrack is no fun in the sun. Before Jeffrey Bodine engineered power steering on race cars in 1987, all that horsepower had to be guided by sheer muscle power. And cars on the oval track weren't the only thing that suffered wear and tear. Just ask the drivers. In the Daytona 500, drivers raced 4 hours in 120 degrees, losing up to 10 pounds of body weight. Power steering reduces driver fatigue and conserves the energy necessary to charge the finish line and enjoy a good old-fashioned victory lap. I'm Bobby Lycos. Lycos, you'll love us.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Hi, this is Steve Earle reminding that your vote does make a difference.
And it's going to affect you for the next 4 years. I'm Jean Monahan. Register to vote.
In this particular election, it's going to affect the lives of your children and their children for years and years to come.
Please, be vocal. Speak out. Say something. Do something. Register to vote.
We'll set this shifty. Make your vote count.
If you don't vote, someone else is going to decide your future.
The future's in your hands.
Apathy isn't sexy. This is Jennifer Marks. Register to vote.
Get serious about voting.
There is no scientific evidence that use of one drug necessarily causes use of any other drug. Relieved? Well, here's a reality check. Among adolescents who use illicit drugs, such as cocaine and heroin, almost every one of them used marijuana first. Makes you think, doesn't it? Help our kids understand. For more information, call 1-800-729-6686.
Past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. It's morning's edition. Scott Blakeman, the comedian, is here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing the Laughs from the Left, a liberal dose of political humor. They're doing it, what's the date?
Thursday, October 28th, 8 o'clock at the New York Society for Ethical Culture in Manhattan.
You can get theatermania.com to get tickets, or you can buy tickets at 212-874-5222. 5210, extension 113. Yeah, excuse me, Scott, I gotta take this call. Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that voters know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we know someone from that world, and once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush, is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Oh, good morning, Mark, and God bless you. And I have the highest respect for the Jewish people.
I'm very happy to hear that. Today I'd like to discuss swing states.
Swing states. Can we do that? Is that like Benny Goodman, or is it like those states where, you know, people swing both ways?
No.
You know, sodomites undermining the sanctity of marriage.
No,
homosexuals,
no,
men lacking men,
no,
women on
no,
women.
No, no, no. I'm talking about the states that could go either way, for Bush or for Kerry.
Bush or Kerry.
Yeah.
Mark, the election's over.
No.
I mean, I'm telling you, Aunt B couldn't sew up a pair of Opie's dungarees the way tighter than George W. Bush has sewn up this election already. It was a landslide, honey.
Yeah, and listen, buddy. Bush has never had the support of more than 50% of this country. All right, bottom line.
Mark, the only states that don't support Bush are Manhattan and San Francisco. And I got news for you. They've been communist-controlled since 1946. They have a Politburo.
No, this is
in Manhattan. They do.
Those are cities. They're cities. They're not states.
They read Pravda.
No, if they don't.
I've seen it. They read Pravda.
No, it's
Fidel Castro.
Right.
Cuba. Politics.
Listen to me. Every political pundit, both left and right, would agree that lots of Americans disagree with Bush's policies. Okay?
Oh, now, okay. All right. I know what you're talking about there.
Okay.
Those are those retards that are on death row in Texas. Well, of course they don't like Bush. What are you going to do with them? I mean, sad little people getting executed. But, you know, just before they were lethally injected, all of them switched to Bush. Every one of them, they all signed a pledge.
Four more years,
just as it was going right in their veins.
No.
4 more years. Hello, Jesus.
No, listen to me. I got you in a corner here. I can feel it. You know, you're scared, right? Because the polls say that there are several states completely up for grabs. Up for grabs.
It's over. What I tell you is up for grabs. Freedom. But thanks to President Bush, freedom is on the margin. Everyone loves freedom except for terrorists, Muslims, the Dixie Chicks, and apparently you, Mark Maron. Freedom over. No, wait, freedom's not over. Election's over. Freedom on the march.
Look, this isn't
freedom's marching.
This isn't even my opinion. It's
march,
a fact.
March, march,
it's
march.
A fact. There are several states that could swing either way.
did you have to bring Dick Cheney's daughter into this?
I didn't say anything about this.
What a cheap, tawdry, liberal trick defaming a lesbian by saying she's a lesbian. That's disgusting. And you wonder why 99% of this country supports President Bush. I'll tell you why. Freedom is on the march. Freedom marching. March.
No.
That
look,
freedom,
look,
baby.
So you refuse to admit that this could be a close election. Is that what you're telling me?
Mark, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. This is what I sound like, being real quiet, not dignifying your remark.
Just listen to me.
Are you hearing it? Answering your question?
Just say it. Bush is going to lose.
Oh, it's loud. My
silence. No, he's going to
my
lose.
My silence is loud.
He's going to lose.
Freedom.
No, he's not.
Freedom over.
Come on, Lawton. I know you. What's going on inside?
Communism.
No. He's going to lose, Lawton.
It's over. He's going to lose. He's a terrible candidate. He lies and lies and lies. He's so ashamed of dirty.
Okay.
Dirty.
Are you okay?
Dirty lies.
See, nobody now I like it when we get to the honesty.
Nobody lies.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
They used to call me Pee Wee. Nobody lies.
Martin, are you okay?
Lies.
Okay, that's okay. So you want to vote for Kerry?
Freedom on the march. 4 more years. March.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. It's always good talking to you. Take care.
All right.
Say hi to Brian Wilson for me.
It's rough, buddy. Oh, look, we got some calls on the real phone. You ready to take some calls? Oh, first of all, first off, Scott, little advice for starting out comics. Like, help me.
You don't need any help. But you know what? I get to understand there's all these books about comedy. I would just go the other way just to say that just do what you feel like talking about. Because, there are nights when it may not go well, and at least you can get off stage and at least I'm talking about what I want to talk about. And I would say ignore most of these books that say you have to have 3.8 laughs for this amount of time. You have to say this word, not that word. And, all the great comedians probably broke every rule. So I would say don't listen to any of the other advice, unless you're, don't be wired during a show. I think that's an important thing.
So you're telling me that you basically teach one session of a class and it's about 5 minutes long?
It's a very, and I go over it, I repeat things, and it's an inspirational thing, and just look at the results.
I tell you, but it's fun.
It's a good experience for me, actually.
What was a young John Stewart like as a student?
He's actually very nice and amiable, and I can't say I knew, but it's fun. He was in the class. Caroline Ray was very confident, and I think
she's still very confident.
It's been fun. It really has been a nice experience for me, and actually, sometimes I'd rather watch them than sit at a typical comedy club night and watch other people less original.
Sometimes I'd rather watch someone else than myself. Jerry in Long Island, how are you, Jerry? Good morning. Nice to hear from you again.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think that all American voters need to pay more attention, look more closely at Bush's Freudian slips as indications of what he truly thinks.
Example.
For instance, on the subject of the military draft, now this past weekend, and you probably have a clip on it because Air America was playing it over the weekend, Bush said in a gaffe, in a mistake, in a Freudian slip, he said, quote, "I made it very plain we will not have an all-volunteer army."
I saw that.
And I think this week, and then he quickly corrected himself. He said, "I mean, we will have an all-volunteer army." Let me restate that.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing, Jerry. That's a good call because I was watching that. Now what he does now is he makes it really cute. He makes it look like he did it on purpose. Did you see that? That was devastating because when he does slip, like this ad that we played earlier, did you hear that? You were here, weren't you?
Yeah, it's
like he does it with such confidence and clarity. And then when he makes up for it, then it's all confused and jungled.
Be in error, but never be in doubt. That could be the man's motto.
But when he said that, I don't remember the exact quote. What did Jerry just say? Not an all-volunteer army.
Yeah.
Like he basically said, we're going to have a draft.
And he said, whoa, that's not what I meant exactly.
And then he got all cute about it, like, I do that. That's something I do. Candy in the Bronx, always nice to talk to you, Candy.
Hi, Candy.
How are you guys?
All right, how you
What's
doing?
Going on?
Well, I am a little concerned about something that has been bothering me about this president. He was asked several months ago, how would you like to go down in history?
Yeah.
And his answer was, I don't worry about that. We are all going to be dead.
Yeah, he said that to Bob Woodward. I remember that quote.
Yeah.
And now that we have this flu thing, because at the time I said, I wonder what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And when I heard about this flu vaccine being contaminated, I said to myself, I'm 66, and I said, I'm not going to get the flu shot this year because whatever comes here, I don't know if it's contaminated.
Yeah.
But I went to my doctor yesterday.
Okay.
And if he had asked me to take the flu shot, I would have said no.
Yeah.
But my doctor is not going to give it to anybody.
Oh, really?
Because he doesn't feel it's safe.
Wow. That's
really?
Incredible. Well, good for you, Ken. You're good for making that call.
Yeah.
Okay, you take care. Thank you for calling us.
Have
always
a good day.
You
all
too.
Right, you
the
take
Bush,
care.
Bush gave great advice about that. Don't wait online. That's his great analysis there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's plenty of vaccine for everybody. It's just not good vaccine.
Yeah. Right. Share some with your friends.
But that's interesting that her doctor said that, you know, he's got it, but he's not. He doesn't even feel that it's he's not even going to give it to her. That's
well, you know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of skepticism about vaccines generally, I think, out here in the population.
Dude, after Gary Monomoto, I mean, I would be skeptical about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
well, he was scary.
Did you hear that guy?
Gary Matsumoto, yeah.
I didn't hear him. He wrote this book about the anthrax vaccine they've been experimenting on soldiers with, that it causes all these horrible things. I'm sorry, make a funny.
Well, just referring to, you know, the couple callers ago about, you know, the Mary Cheney thing, yeah, and everything, which is, again, just the lack of reality they live in. You know, they're going after Kerry for mentioning that it's nice that Cheney loves their daughter. What a horror. Because this is the most anti-gay administration. You know, Bush once said, I support gay people because we're all sinners.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what a ringing endorsement that is. You know?
He really said that?
Yeah, he said, yeah. And,
God.
It's absurd. And Cheney himself, you know, he's just, he's the best liar in the world. It's incredible because he doesn't. It's not like Bush; they don't back down on anything. It was like Saddam Hussein met with Al Qaeda in Prague. No, that never happened. Well, just because it never happened doesn't mean it didn't happen. And just because there's no chance it happened doesn't mean it could have happened. And in fact, it did happen. And, you know.
Don't question me.
Oh yes, anti-patriot.
Yeah, right? Well, Scott Blakeman, let's plug the bit again here. It's Laughs from the Left, a liberal dose of political humor. The show is being held at the New York Society for Ethical Culture by Lincoln Center in New York City on Thursday, October 28th. To buy tickets, tell me the lineup again.
It's myself, it's Reno, Brian Dykstra, Barry Weintraub, Dino Vidala, Warren Thomas, Joe Raiola from Mad Magazine. It's a benefit for the great social outreach and get out
those people
partners
on here.
Yeah,
we had Barry, Brian, you, Dean.
I take the lead from you, Marco. We're going to have them.
Okay.
So they're all
wait a minute, Warren Thomas?
Warren Thomas has been on as well.
Yeah.
Warren Thomas.
And hey, what's going on? It's raining monkeys.
Right. And Dino Vidal and I doing stand-up for peace all around the country, too.
Okay. All right.
Well, good. So theatermania.com or 212-874-5210, extension 113. We'll put that on our website at morningsedition.com. Thank you, Scott Blakeman.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for coming by. We'll be back in a second on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
I'm Tim Robbins. It's time to wake up with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
We're fighting for our lives here!
There's only one movie between now and Election Day that's required viewing. The only film that will make you truly understand what's happening inside the White House. It will frighten you. It will infuriate you. It will tell you all you need to know about the stream of misinformation spewing from the White House. It will introduce you to the Svengali puppet master who's really running the country, the co-president of the United States. It's the only film that tells you who's really behind the dirt and deception in the campaign. There's one film you need to see before November 2nd. The name of the film? Well, we can't tell you that. The government won't allow us. Let's just say it's called W's Brain. The President's Brain. Oh, you know, B***'s Brain. Call 1-800-750-4856 and order now, or go to www.airamericaradio.com. That's 1-800-750-4856 or airamericaradio.com. Isn't it time you heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Straight from B***'s brain.
Good game, Mike.
Thanks. Hey, by the way, how was the doctor the other day?
Good, but my cholesterol's 200. It's a little high.
Yeah, I'm around 760.
760? You're kidding me.
Pretty impressive, huh?
No, not impressive. Not impressive at all. What are you on, some sort of butter diet?
Yeah, you know, I figured at 760, getting a loan on the new car should be no problem.
Loan? What are you talking about, man? You're not going to live long enough to pay back a loan.
There's physical health, and then there's financial health. With ScorePower from Equifax, you'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for just $14.95. It's the first step toward healthy credit, and a score of 760 is pretty healthy. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Yeah, I figure I can get up to around 790 by the end of the year, you know, if I'm lucky.
Look, a little advice.
Yeah? Eat a vegetable, a smoothie, something, man.
Get the power. Score power at Equifax.com.
Bang, bang, bang. On the door, baby. Knock a little louder, baby. Bang, bang, bang. On the door, baby. I can't hear you. Bang, bang, bang. On the door.
From the P52 Shimmies only on Sirius every Friday night at 9 Eastern. Party out of bounds with Fred exclusively on Sirius First Wave 22.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net, or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That fills the loneliness. When you really love you, it's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Okay, buckle up. It's morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Buckle.
Okay, man. I feel like I'm gonna get. I feel like the cold's gonna come down on me later this afternoon.
Get some rest, man. Sleep. Sleep it off. Sleep it off.
My wife's like, Theraflu. Just take Theraflu and sleep for 16 hours.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it'll be 2 o'clock tomorrow morning.
So I am going to be performing at Gotham Comedy Club this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. I'll be on both shows there at some point in the evening. You can go to Gotham.com, I think, or MorningsEdition.com for a link.
Yeah.
This at the end of the month, October 29th and 30th, I'll be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco as part of the Stand Up For Your Rights Part 2 with Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, and a few other comics. What else have we got? You can check out Pashman's Picks at the links on MorningsEdition.com. And also, let's see what else we got coming up. Eric Schlosser tomorrow. I have fought for Eric Schlosser. Eric Schlosser is going to come.
All right.
Scare us about meat. Ooh. James Galbraith, I guess, is coming up as well, who I'm very excited about. Professor Francis Fox Piven, I'm very excited about. We've got great guests coming up at the end of the week. If you find any bizarre things going on with your voting or your pollings or the voter polls or anything that has to do with votes being tampered with, call 866-OUR-VOTE to speak to a lawyer. If you report any, if you see any suspicious activity, there's plenty of lawyers on call to monitor the situation. Okay?
Should I make a call? I need to make a call.
To them?
Now.
I might too, but I called up the elections in L.A.
This is Philadelphia, man.
What's going on?
This is strange. This is a very strange story.
What do you got?
Republicans who are working to reelect the president submitted last-minute requests to relocate 63 polling sites in Philadelphia, predominantly black polling sites in Philadelphia.
Dude, I can't believe they're pulling that. How can they get away with this stuff? What's going on? Who's taking action around that?
They filed these requests. This is Bush's Pennsylvania campaign staff filed a request on behalf of two Republicans running for Congress and seven Republican ward leaders. Of the 63 requests, 53 are in political subdivisions where the population of white voters is less than 10%. Now, some of these requests actually had the names of black Republicans. Philly has a substantial number of black Republicans. So they had some black Republican insurgents who were challenging establishment, including Congressman Shaka Fatah, who's African-American, who represents Philadelphia. So some of these requests were made by black Republican insurgents. But this is, you want to hear a very strange story. Apparently, one of the polling places in question was a district office, was inside the district office of a Democratic state senator. Two are in local bars.
Huh.
Okay, so if you get drunk and vote at the same time, not a problem.
So now, but they're trying to just, you know, move things around to confuse people, and they're assuming that if something isn't where the people thought it was going to be, they'll just give up.
Now, this is even deeper than that. Here is a direct quote from a guy named Matt Robb, who's a Republican leader of the 48th Ward in South Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Robb said that he allowed his name to be used because the polling places are in neighborhoods he doesn't want to visit. And I quote, "It's predominantly 100% black," said Robb, who is white. "I'm just not going in there to get a knife in my back." Unquote.
Wow. Unbelievable.
That's politics Philadelphia side. Well, I shouldn't. You know, taint everybody in Philly with this broad brush. But this is what this guy said.
That's unbelievable.
Look, I'm not going to the black neighborhood to campaign. What are you, nuts?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Now, they failed in the effort. We should let people know that. This did not succeed. But we'll show you the lengths to which some of the Bush people, because the requests were filed by Bush administration people just this past Friday.
These Republicans will do anything, and there's many reasons, obviously, not to vote for President Bush, and I'm going to give you the top 10, me and Riley.
Here. Oh, yeah.
One, on Iraq, he chooses to include discredited intelligence concerning Nigerian yellow cake in his 2003 State of the Union in order to sell the war to the American people.
On Afghanistan, he failed to provide security outside of Kabul, leaving nearly 80% of the population unprotected from warlords and militias.
On intelligence, he allowed Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld to create the Office of Special Plans in order to provide politically advantageous intelligence.
On foreign relations, he sided with trade partner China against a democratic referendum by Taiwan.
On nuclear proliferation, he claimed John Kerry would let Europe determine America's defenses, then allowed Europe to lead the anti-Iranian nuke efforts.
On job creation, he signed a report that endorsed outsourcing, with thousands of American workers having their jobs shipped overseas.
On the economy, he issued inaccurate budget forecasts with proposals to reduce the deficit, leaving out the cost of the war in Iraq, Afghanistan reconstruction, and the funding of Homeland Security.
On education, he underfunded his own No Child Left Behind program by more than $25 billion.
On taxation, he passed tax cuts for the top 1% of income earners in this country.
On chemical terrorism, instead of finding the culprit behind the 2001 anthrax mailings, he encouraged his administration to find any possible link between Iraq and the attacks. He continued to do so even after scientists determined that the lethal germ was an American strain.
We're going to be doing that every day until the election, and if you want to learn more about anthrax and this administration's policy of testing anthrax vaccines on the troops, we had our guest Gary Matsumoto. His book is Vaccine A. Very exciting stuff and very horrifying, and you can get that on our website at morningsedition.com. If you want to email us, you can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com.
We're getting close to the end, folks. We're getting near Election Day. Now is the time to start contacting your friends and your neighbors. And I think a lot of people are already doing this, Mark. But we need to talk up the vote. Make sure that everybody, every person you know, every nook, every cranny is prepared to go out there on November 2nd. And don't let the long lines, don't let the intimidation, don't let the voter suppression efforts stand in your way. If worse comes to worse, and I'm not sure what the law is in your state, but if worse comes to worse in New York and New Jersey, if you have any problems, demand a paper ballot.
Yeah.
All right? If they tell you your name isn't there or you're not where you're supposed to, demand the paper ballot. Fill it out.
Yeah, and vote if you can now. I'm waiting for my ballot. I called up. Did I tell you this on the air? We already talked about it. We talked. Oh, we didn't. No, I called up.
You said yesterday. Yeah.
But I didn't remember if it was on the air or not. They said that they didn't have my address right, so they're sending me another one.
Another one. Yeah. Well, hopefully, if you don't get it by the end of the week, man, something's really wrong.
No. Okay. They definitely should have it by the end of the week. It's got to be there by the, you know, the second. So there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. Write these down. One, demand a recount today because these things take time. Two, in a show of unity with the mutinous soldiers in Iraq, skip taking your hydrogen vehicle to the fueling station this week. Three, interrupt everyone today with the word allegedly. Four, threaten to withhold child's allowance until his middle school newspaper endorses Kerry. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, those soldiers are right to refuse orders, man. The only order I respect is, I'll have a grilled tofu on gluten-free toast, man. What's going on? What's going on tomorrow,
well,
man?
Speaking of gluten-free toast, the man who blew the lid off the Happy Meal joins us. We'll talk with Fast Food Nation author Eric Schlosser. He'll tell us what Bush is hiding about mad cow disease and how he stands to gain from it. That's tomorrow's morning edition here on Air America Radio. Good one, Maren.
See you later, Riley.
Feel better.
Thank you.